The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, February 23rd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the Pentagon approved the deployment of 700 unarmed National Guard troops to the nation's capital as it prepares for trucker convoys that are planning protests against pandemic restrictions. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin approved the request Tuesday from the District of Columbia government and the U.S. Capitol Police, the Pentagon said in a statement Tuesday night. The troops would be used to assist with traffic control during demonstrations expected in the city in the coming days, the Pentagon said. 400 Guard members from the District of Columbia Guard will be joined by 300 Guard members from other states, according to the statement. Guard members will not carry firearms or take part in law enforcement or domestic surveillance activities, the Pentagon said. Modeled after the recent trucker protests in Canada, separate truck convoys have been planned through online forums with names like the People's Convoy and the American Truckers Freedom Fund, all with different starting points, departure dates, and routes. A group from Pennsylvania is planning to head to D.C. to take part and disrupt the highways. Area law enforcement, including the Maryland State Police, Metropolitan Police Department in D.C., and the United States Capitol Police, are closely monitoring the situation and, in some cases, ramping up security to deal with the possibility of major disruptions in the days leading up to and around President Joe Biden's State of the Union address on March 1st. A mainline school board meeting went on for hours Tuesday night with debate over its mask mandate for staff and students as districts across the area contemplate changes. The Radnor School Board ultimately voted unanimously to make face coverings optional starting Thursday after hearing comments from parents and students. The decision came after Superintendent Ken Batchelor sent a letter to the community recommending the change based off of a 5-week decline in positive cases and hospitalizations. District officials will now continue to monitor numbers at each school, making sure positive cases are less than 2.5% of the school's population. The Upper Darby School District is also moving forward with a new plan. The administration is still recommending masks for students and staff, but they are no longer requiring anyone to wear them. The Upper Darby mask optional policy will go into effect on Monday, March 7th, but some rules, like masking for students who test positive for COVID, will remain in place.
I understand one of the main issues was mandatory limbo dancing. Anything on that?
Yeah, no, they're still going to do that.
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah. Have to. It really lightens things up, you know?
I think it does.
Yeah,
we need
for sure.
More limbo dancing.
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty cool if you're walking into school every day and you had to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't go down that hall unless
you can go under.
Yeah. How low can you go?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the superintendent of the Upper Marion Area School District said he's going to do the Macarena instead.
There we go.
He said he's recommending to the school board that the district moves to making masking optional for students beginning March 7th. Their school board meeting is scheduled for Monday, February 28th.
Sorry.
Oh, there it is. That's for Marion. In Gloucester County, Washington Township Public School says they're going to do the chicken dance.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So there's a point of contention.
Yes. Yeah. No, they're going to follow suit on Governor Phil Murphy's decision to end masking mandates starting March 7th.
Actually, I think this is actually the duck dance, isn't it?
We had a discussion of contention over whether it's chicken or duck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
The origin dance might have been duck dance.
Right. Or chicken. Masks will still be required on school buses and district vehicles.
There's a party going on in that bitch.
Federal mandate. Thousands of New Jersey households will soon be getting notified that their residents have lead service lines and will be replaced over the next decade under a 2021 state law. Environmental regulators said Thursday. The 186,000 lead pipes are not in a single town, city, or county, but are all over the state, the Department of Environmental Protection commissioner said. They carry water to a mix of homes, businesses, and other properties. Though the exact number of people affected is unclear, just how quickly the replacements will take is also not clear. And in the meantime, the letter offers 11 steps people can take to reduce exposure to lead, starting with running cold water to flush lead out. There could be more households getting notifications, as well as about 500 community water systems that will conduct the legally required inventory to determine whether they have lead pipes. About 1 million pipes are undetermined, according to the environmental officials.
Do you have a water filtration system in your home?
Yes, I have one. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I have lead pipes, but I do have a filtration system. But also, this is for Jersey. So the cost of replacement is likely to be distributed to utility ratepayers and homeowners. The New Jersey's law requires the replacement to be done by 2031. The $1 trillion federal infrastructure bill could defray some of the cost of the replacement, with Jersey slated to get $1 billion over 5 years. That, though, is well short of the estimated $30 billion that it will take.
It was like a billion...
to overhaul the state's water infrastructure.
Does it seem kind of interesting that they pass, they legalize pot just before they break the news about the inferior
about the lead pipes?
Yeah. It's okay, man.
Did you guys get the letter down the shore, either of you?
I don't know.
We don't get mail down there.
All right. Okay, let's just do sports this morning then. The Flyers lost to the St. Louis Blues, falling 4-1 last night in South Philly.
What the fuck is this?
Blues goalie Jordan Binnington made 25 saves, and Vladimir Tarasenko scored the go-ahead goal in the third period to lead the Blues to the win. Oscar Lindblom scored for the Flyers, who lost their sixth in a row and 19th in the last 21. The Flyers continue their homestand with the game against the Washington Capitals on Saturday afternoon. The puck is set to drop at 12:30. The Sixers are off until Friday night, when they'll travel to Minnesota to play the Timberwolves. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. And in college basketball, the eighth-ranked Villanova Wildcats lost to the UConn Huskies last night. RJ Cole hit a floater with 5.9 seconds left and then took a charge from Colin Gillespie at the end of the court to lead the Huskies to a 71-69 win. The Wildcats have only two games left in the regular season and will be back home on Tuesday night to host the 11th-ranked Providence Friars. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you, Kathy. So, short work week for us, gang. We had a couple days off. That means a real easy word of the week prize for you, because it's only three letters before we give away a trip for two to see The Batman. It's the New York premiere on March 1st, and this will be at Lincoln Center. And this includes round trip Amtrak tickets, dinner, and an overnight stay. That's pretty awesome.
That's fantastic.
Going up to New York, seeing a movie in advance, and getting dinner and the whole deal. That's a pretty sweet little package. So only three letters to keep track of. We'll start that today at the end of the program. Being a Wednesday, we have a few standard Wednesday things that we do. We're going to check in with Fox Good Day this morning. And we also have a secret text word. And this prize is a chance to win tickets for Mountain Fest. And it's Saturday, March 5th at Montage Mountain. And it is, Mountain Fest lift tickets, but you'll also get tickets to the concert, which is Spin Doctors and the Verb Pipe. So there's fireworks display after the show and a bunch of things going on. So text word secret to 39333, and we'll get you in the running for that. Joining us on the program today, a couple of good friends, Jeff Devlin.
Yeah.
The, what's the word I'm looking
for? Carpenter.
Right. Extraordinaire. The Philly Home and Garden Show is at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks Friday through Sunday, and obviously Jeff will be there. I've seen his, I've been out to his events at these,
it's great.
These home expos before, and he's awesome. So Jeff is stopping by this morning, and our friend Richard Curtis is going to be on because The Clash Room is coming back.
Thank you,
and it's a new version. It's a family edition, so. We're going to talk to him about what all that entails and also how maybe you can get on the show.
We've had this 8x10 of him in the office, and now it's valid again. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so we're stoked. Richard's a great person, and we'll talk to him around 9 o'clock. But The Clash Room will be Wednesdays at 6:30, and that's on Fox 29. So we have that taking place. All these people joining us, all these things going on. We have a lot to get to, so let's take a break, come back in a second. Stupid question and the entertainment report up next, so stay put. We'll be right back.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to do a stupid question this morning, and the prize we have to give away is a pair of tickets for the Philly Pops Presents Pops Rocks Let It Be, which is on March 11th at the Kimmel Cultural Campus. And the question we will go with this morning, another Black History question, courtesy of our buddy Craig. So the question is, in 1923, a guy named Garrett Morgan invented something that's now on 330,000 street corners throughout the United States. What did he invent? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, then you should call right now. So in 1923, Garrett Morgan invented something that's now on 330,000 street corners throughout the U.S. What did he invent? Call now. Mention some birthdays while we're waiting for that call. Today being Wednesday, February 23rd, we got some good ones. We'll start with Dakota Fanning's birthday today.
Just saw her. She's in a new movie. She had some makeup on. She's virtually unrecognizable.
Really?
Yeah. She's a talented actress.
Working constantly. She's always got something going on. She's 28 years old today,
Jesus,
by the way.
God, yeah. I remember when she was a little kid.
I know. She was like
War of the World.
Like 12 years old.
She was a little panicking kid in the back seat.
Yep, you're correct. Actress Patricia Richardson.
We had her in studio.
Played Jill Taylor on Home Improvement. Yeah, that would have been a while ago, right?
Yeah, I think she was doing something with the Bucks County Playhouse.
Okay.
I like a little crush on her.
You like the Milfy Moms.
I like the Milfy TV Moms.
Yeah. She's 71 years old today. Brad Whitford of Aerosmith, guitarist, he turns 70 years old today. And I think Brad's always had a good standing. You know, it was their drummer.
Yeah, they had a problem with him, right?
Yeah, they were having an issue. What is his name? Now I'm forgetting.
Joe Perry?
I can't remember. No, Joe Perry's guitarist. And Brad Whitford's the other guitarist.
Okay.
And what?
It was the drummer.
His name, and I can't remember it, so.
Joey Kramer.
Joey Kramer.
He was the goofy one. He'd come through the door and have all crazy things.
Yeah, he had, he would never knock.
He'd just pull right in. I'm going to play the drums. Kramer.
Brad Whitford turns 70 years old today.
Preston, there was a documentary I was watching about Z100 in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm watching a documentary about the radio wars back when it came on air. They had a picture of Aerosmith. They look like they're in the Boy Scouts. It was unbelievable. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Actress Kristen Davis. We've mentioned her a few times lately because the Sex and the City and Just Like That thing has come around within the past few months.
Her face annoys me.
Does it?
Her face
annoys you.
Okay. I think she's kind of genuinely
I thought she was
pretty.
Hot.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Her face is like, she's really pretty, but there's nothing outstanding about it that would...
Yeah. She looks like she's eating a lemon, kind of.
Well, she's actually eating a lemon in that picture.
she has really pronounced cheekbones.
Right.
Is that it? Or...
I think it's her.
You just don't like her. You don't like what she's done with her life and wish she would change.
She's my new Sandra.
Okay, wow.
I liked her in wearing the bikini in that that movie with Vince Vaughn and
Club Paradise.
Couples Retreat.
Yes.
Fletch.
Yeah. I think it's her. I also think it's her acting. She just annoys me.
So far, she's a person. She doesn't have one redeeming quality. Yeah.
Just everything about her.
Yeah. If I could dance around her flaming body, it'd be the greatest day of my life.
Happy birthday, Kristen Davis. Kathy hates you.
From us.
Actress Kelly MacDonald. I love her Scottish accent. She is the voice of Merida in Brave.
Oh.
But she was on Boardwalk Empire, a really great episode of Black Mirror. It's like a 2-hour long one. It's the longest one they have. If you guys ever saw that, it had to do with these kind of mechanical bees.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
She's the detective in that.
Helena Ravenclaw in the last Harry Potter movie. She's the
no
ghost.
No kidding.
Yes, the apparition. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, she is 46 years old today.
Wait a second. She's not in Belfast, is she, Case?
Belfast?
I do not know. You'll have to.
Is she in Belfast?
I don't think so.
Are
you guys making fun of the way I say Belfast?
No.
No.
Okay. Because that's how I say it. Yes.
I had no idea.
I don't see it. Steve, it would have been in the most recent credits on here, and I don't see Belfast on there.
Hmm.
However, it is the great Emily Blunt's birthday today.
She is great.
She's been in so many good things. The Devil Wears Prada, the
What was the quiet movie?
Quiet Place.
sorry, I'm having a hard time putting these things together today. But she is 39. I thought she was great in Mary Poppins. I really enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that movie. Yeah. It didn't get the kind of response.
No, but I
thought it was whimsical and adorable.
Very entertaining.
And The Edge of Tomorrow. Is there a sequel coming out for that?
There was supposed to be.
Yeah, there was.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie.
Well, it's still on here, but it just says rumored. So, Casey, it's called Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat. Because the original name of the movie was Live, Die, Repeat.
And
so
the sequel,
you know, the sequel is Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That's a really well
out of left field,
out
too. Yep. Like when I saw that, I like when you don't know where the hell it's going to go.
Yeah.
And that was very cool.
I also like the, like, it was when it came out, I was like, oh, it's a Tom Cruise action movie, whatever, blah, blah.
We've been
then,
there.
Then you start watching, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This one's different. This is really, really good. Aziz Ansari has his birthday today. He turns 39 years old.
He's got another Netflix special that's out now.
Stand up?
Yeah. So it's him at a club. It's not like a big theater or anything like that.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Josh Gad has his birthday. Frozen. He's Olaf in that, obviously. And a lot of other movies and stage stuff as well, which he gets involved in. He's in... The most recent one I saw, it is him and Isla Fisher.
Yes, what is that show?
I've forgotten what it's
called.
Oh,
yeah.
But it looks intriguing.
Weird.
I haven't talked to anybody who's seen it yet.
A live-action Olaf, by any chance?
I don't think it's a live-action Olaf.
Is it the Wolf Like Me?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was in the original Book of Mormon, too.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, okay.
He's 41 today. And then the last birthday I saw, actress Emilia Jones, and she is the lead role in this movie, Coda, that's up for some Oscars, Best Picture and Best Actor. She's 20 years old. I watched that movie again. I was in Florida over the weekend, and I showed it to my mom and sister.
Right.
I'm like, you guys will love
this.
Did
they enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to see this. You'll love it, and they did, and it's such a great movie, and she's fantastic.
Is it safe to say that if you like Coda, you will like Monster Truck?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't think it's a bit of an assumption, but there's nothing wrong with saying that.
We're looking at her wearing a, it's a side boob thing.
Yeah. I have not seen that picture of her. Wow.
That's an interesting top.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at it.
I ain't mad at that either.
I mean, if you got boobs like that, that's how they wear it.
My dad did.
Did he ever wear anything like that?
No.
It was a different time, though.
Yeah, they didn't wear a lot of
it. This is back from the war.
Emilia Jones is 20 today, so happy birthday. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning, which is 1923, Garrett Morgan invented something that is now on 330,000 street corners throughout the U.S. What did he invent? 215-263-WMMR. I'll go to Ken, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Yo, bud, all right, so he invented something that's now on 330,000 street corners in the U.S. What is it?
Obviously, it's a hooker.
No, that's
I think he's right, though.
But it's a delightful answer, Ken. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate your call.
Speaking of a hooker.
We'll go to Alvin next. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, how are you?
Awesome. Alvin, what did Garrett Morgan invent?
The traffic light.
Traffic light.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Hang on. Not a hooker, but a traffic light. Alvin, we are going to give you a pair of tickets for the Philly Pops Presents Pops Rocks Let It Be, March 11th at the Kimmel Cultural Campus. And the Fab Four's Greatest Hits will be performed live with a full orchestra. More info and tickets for the March 11th through 13th shows at phillypops.org/letitbe. All right, we're going to start with this. After guest hosting the Wendy Williams Show in lieu of Wendy Williams, due to her ongoing health issues, Sherry Shepherd has landed her own talk show. Sherry is the name of it, and it will be debuting in the fall, filling the time slot for the Wendy Williams Show, which is officially ending after 13 seasons.
Yeah, so it sounds kind of weird, like they're sort of quasi-leaving the door open for Wendy, but not really.
Yeah, Wendy's rep, Howard Bragman, commented on the news and said it's been a challenging time for Wendy as she deals with her health issues. She is incredibly grateful to Debmar Mercury, to Sherry, and everybody else who has supported the show throughout this time. He continued saying she more than anyone understands the reality of syndicated television. You can't go to the marketplace and sell a show that's the maybe Wendy Williams show. She understands why this decision was made from a business point of view, and she has been assured by Debmar Mercury that should her health get to a point where she can host again, and should her desire be that she hosts again, that she would be back on TV at that time.
And then they fired her.
Sherry celebrated the news in Instagram saying, OMG, I'm so excited to have my dream come true and debut my very own talk show, Sherry, in the fall. I can't wait until I return to New York to host the show and merge everything I love. Pop culture, talk, entertainment, and comedy. I'm thankful to Debmar Mercury and Fox for partnering with me on this show and look forward to this new journey.
Everybody's working with Debmar Mercury. How come us?
Now, following Bragman's comments, the newly launched Wendy Williams official Instagram account posted a story that read, Mr. Bragman, although I appreciate your concerns and respect you immensely, I have not authorized you to make any statements on my behalf regarding my current status with Debmar Mercury. Again, thanks for your continuing concern and support. Now, in response to this, he said, I'm not honestly convinced of the source of that social media post.
Oh,
so,
boy.
When my old friend Wendy FaceTimes me personally and we alone have a chance to discuss recent events together, we can figure out the best path forward. So he's thinking maybe somebody's pulling the reins.
It's possible. I don't know. Side, it could be her manager, X, who apparently she's gotten back together with. It's a big mess, but Sherry Shepherd she's on Dish Nation.
Okay.
Which is just a fantastic show.
Yeah.
And this new talk show. So she'll be working. I think she does radio as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious about this whole thing as to whether that is her behind this Instagram account or not.
Don't know.
And we'll look into that a little bit further.
I've seen Kathy making posts on the Wendy Williams.
You always see her up on my computer. Yeah. Well,
it seems kind of weird.
Scarlett Johansson's new skincare line, The Outset, is going to launch on March 1st.
I'll be first in line.
The Black Widow actress announced in July 2021 that she will be stepping away from beauty deals to focus on her own line of products. And according to a release, she said, actually, this was in March of last year in, it's the upcoming issue of Vogue. She said, I've been the face of several luxury brands throughout my career, and all of those experiences were really wonderful. But how do I put this? I guess I always felt like I was sort of playing a character in those campaigns. And as I evolved, I wanted to create and represent a brand that was true to me.
I tell you what, if you can have a beauty line or some sort of cosmetic or something that clicks, you can, I mean, look at all the careers that have been made, like the Kylie lip kit and all that stuff.
Yeah, you're punching your own ticket at that point.
Would you ever, what would you do? What would be your cosmetic? Because I was thinking of Bald Buff. I would sell
Bald Buff, that's not a bad
right?
idea.
Right, has a catchy name.
It is.
Bald Buff, have someone else make it up, you know. QVC.
So what's the idea? Is you kind of...
Like the same way you'd shine a shoe?
So you want to make it shiny.
Shiny.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if shiny heads were desirable or not.
I'll make them, you know. You got to set the track.
But, hey, you know what? You can... For some, it might be. And then other people might want more of a matted look. So Bald Buff does not just have to be shiny.
I can create my own competition with Deadhead that doesn't reflect any light.
Right.
Bald Buff and Deadhead.
Right? The two successful lines.
That's not a bad idea.
Okay, yeah.
Let somebody else do all the work.
Yes,
Steve will step right in on it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I won't even know what's in it. It could literally be powdered asbestos.
I don't know what I could do. Casey could do a line of nail polishes.
I could.
Yep.
And I probably you should. Does that? Machine Gun Kelly does it, right?
Well, no, it doesn't matter. You would have a unique thing, Preston. Grooming.
Beard oil?
A beard shellac.
Beard butter?
It. Change it something.
Beard like butter.
Weird beard.
Yeah.
There's already a beard butter.
Well, they have beard grooming kits. You could do like a whole kit.
Yeah. I have a beard grooming kit.
Yeah, but you have a better one in your mind.
But is it the Devereaux beard grooming kit or is it?
I don't know what I would call it.
What would you
Crestone?
Call it?
Crestone?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wait, no, that's used.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, that's an antifreeze. Yeah, that's right.
But that doesn't.
That's right.
Look at, they repurposed Viagra, right? What? And they can show the video. You're pouring antifreeze into your car. You get a little. Oh, sure. My God.
Oh,
my God. My beard looks great.
Yep.
Antifreeze. And
And the great part is my beard never freezes in the winter. I can always start
my beard.
See,
like, you know, those cross-country skiers and icicles and stuff hanging off there.
You know,
mine would not do that.
Here's Preston after just finishing the Iditarod. No icicles.
I get a little bit bummed that I don't have a good beard like you because the beard butter smells so good, always.
You ever have it on toast?
Do you want to eat it?
No.
I just want to smell it.
We have a patient in here who's OD'd on beard butter.
Have you ever smelled it?
He just saw the word butter.
It just smells good. Yeah, no, not like an eating good, but like a just, I want this to be on me all the time.
Do you think beard butter would melt evenly into each square of a waffle?
Probably.
I mean, you can still wear it, right? Like, you don't have to have a great beard in order to wear it.
And it tastes great, too. And my beard never freezes.
I mean, like,
because it's made with Prestone.
Steve could put hairspray in, you know, but
absolutely,
it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, back to Scarlett Johansson. Right. After she and her business partner, Kate Foster, created the brand's Instagram, Johansson's husband, Colin Jost, trolled the page on a side profile photo of Johansson captioned "The Start of You." The SNL comedian wrote, "Is this the best way to contact you? I'm starting a similar brand called Part of a Face. And would love to use this photo. Thanks." Fans laughed at his joke, but many also expressed excitement for the upcoming line, which boasts a return to the essential and fostering new beginnings for people and planet.
That's my beauty care regimen. I go with the essentials. I go with the foundational stuff. Kathy, I think you agree with that, right? You can't have too many. You don't have too many things in your cosmetics kit, right? Just a couple of things.
I do, and I clear it out every once in a while.
My ball butter, my Prestone, and my Saccharine.
All right, Idris Elba has music on his mind. The Vanity Fair, in Vanity Fair, he recently said that he is planning to lean away from the acting work to put an effort into making music. He said some may think, well, it'll be the death of your acting career if your music is crap. I've dealt with the internal struggle of that over the years. So now I'm at peace and I've chosen this is what I'm doing and I'm going to do it. So some will love it and some will hate it, he said.
He's a DJ, right?
Correct.
Okay, so.
He didn't just play a DJ on Netflix's Turn Up Charlie series. He actually performed as one at Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's royal wedding reception in 2018 and at Coachella in 2019. He had said, at the time, I've worked my whole life to play at Coachella. I made it at 46. I nearly passed out when I found out. He previously told people that he's loved music since he was just 4 years old, saying that he was mesmerized by the turntable going around and around.
He's getting hypnotized.
Commenting on the decision to take a break from acting in order to achieve his music-making goals, Elba said, the thing about making music is it's a very consuming process. It's very difficult to shoot a movie and then go off into the studio or make a song. It's like trying to build a souffle while making a brick wall.
I did that once.
Mm, okay.
Very problematic. I'll tell you what he also is very good at and had some success, kickboxing.
Oh, yeah?
He had a couple bouts. He did very well.
Okay. I'm curious. You know, it doesn't mention him being a quote-unquote musician in here, which I'm kind of glad for because I don't really see DJs as musicians. Mm. I see them as performers.
Yes.
Well, but not necessarily as musicians, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he might. I don't know what sort of music capabilities he has, you know, other than, you know, just, you know, putting samples together and, you know, like, but.
You can meld sounds and mix things and so on and forth, but it's not quite what I consider to be a musician.
So you had somebody like, you know, like a Puff Daddy or like Kanye or, you know, even like Dr. Dre. Like, I didn't know he had any musical. I didn't know he could play the piano until he played the piano at the Super Bowl.
Right.
Show.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, oh, he actually, you know.
Yeah. So
maybe he just can.
Maybe there's some of that. Let's see. Entertainment Tonight reports that Zoe Sozo Bethel, who was crowned Miss Alabama for America Strong in 2021, has died at the age of 27.
This is horrible.
Bethel's family posted a statement to her Instagram account on Monday that read, at approximately 5:30 a.m., our beloved Zoe Sozo Bethel passed from this life into the next as a result of succumbing to her injuries. She touched the hearts of many people and was actively affiliated with several organizers and groups. Namely, she was the current Miss Alabama for America Strong. I don't know what America Strong is. Do you guys?
I do not.
Okay. So it's not the Miss America
thing. I don't think so.
Thing. So, but anyhow, she was a political commentator for RSBN, a brand ambassador for Turning Point USA and Liberty University's Falkirk Center. And according to a preliminary investigation, she fell out of a third-floor window.
Yeah. Oh,
and the medical examiner said the cause of death was blunt force trauma. Police say no foul play is expected, but suspected. That's messed up. People reports that Insecure actress Jada Benjamin was found unharmed in Los Angeles on Tuesday. This news comes days after she was reported missing. The Family Reunion actress's aunt, Jihan Johnson, had posted the update to her Instagram story and said Jada has been found unharmed and reunited with the family. Thank you all for sharing, reporting, and prayers. Benjamin's mother, Jacinda, said in a statement that she was located at 2:30 a.m. We are overjoyed and relieved. The stress has been out of this world. I wouldn't wish this amount of anguish on any parent or loved one. The country needs to do its due diligence to take better care of those battling mental illness. There's too much red tape to go through just to get immediate assistance and support.
So, I wonder if you have someone who is battling mental. So they always say there's a period of time where you wait before you call the police and you know, put a missing persons report in. But to me, I think if you have somebody, anybody your family's missing, I think you'd go right to that.
You know what? I read something, Steve, not that long ago that said that the whole, somebody has to be missing for 24 hours in order for a missing person. That's kind of like the standard movie thing.
Nonsense?
Not necessarily true.
Okay.
If you are concerned about somebody, call the police.
Yeah.
And they may not have to go, well, we got to wait this amount of time before we can start looking for them. They might be able to help out right away. So I think that's an old, you know, wives' tale of sort.
Yeah, because that runs contrary to they say the first 48 hours are the most important in a missing person's case.
Right. According to Page Six, Aaron Rodgers' recent comments are leading fans to believe that he and Shailene Woodley are still together. Despite the news about their engagement ending. On the Pat McAfee show on Tuesday, Rodgers said, when your home life is stable and you have an amazing partner to do life with, it just makes the work life a bonus. And it changes your perspective because you've been able to not look at work as like a refuge.
I'll tell you what, if this is the case, we're going to send them a case of Prestone beard treatment.
All right, please do. He relayed
because he does have a beard. Yeah.
That he told Woodley recently, I've been with you for 2 years, won 2 MVPs. That's not a coincidence either.
Huh.
Rodgers followed this with, I know for me, it's been great the last 2 seasons to have that stability at home.
He should say, I've been with you for 2 years.
Yes.
I have Devontae Adams, and and he's the best wide receiver in the league.
Right.
And so I won 2 MVPs, and that also, Aaron Jones is a really good running back, as well as A.J. Dillon.
To contextualize his ability.
My offensive line is keeping me protected.
Yeah.
And you're a great lay.
And I can get these passes off.
Yeah.
We don't know that. She could be adequate.
Yeah. This all comes after Rodgers shared a photo of the pair cuddling to Instagram, writing to Woodley, thanks for always having my back, for the incredible kindness you show me and everyone you meet, and for showing me what unconditional love looks like.
That looks very romantic.
I love you and am grateful for you.
Look at his beard.
It's photos from the last year, so like he's included this one before they broke up or whether or not they broke up. I read a little bit more about this interview, this Pat McAfee show, and apparently he went on this retreat for like the last 8 or 9 days.
12 days.
Oh, 12 days?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Was it like a Jared Leto?
Kind of, yeah, like disconnecting and a lot of meditation and
peyote.
Recentering and a lot of hard drugs.
Maybe.
No, I mean, I'm kidding about that part.
But so like a vision, well, not a vision quest, no, but like just, a retreat. Yeah, real. Yeah,
off the
purge.
Grid.
Yeah. I wonder how I would do it, something like that.
Amazing, probably.
I wonder if after a day or two I would go, I'm bored with this.
If I could have a TV.
I think you would.
Really?
Yeah.
I think as the time goes on, you'd get used to it and you'd probably start to enjoy it more.
Yeah. You did it. You did a variation of it. And how old were you when you did that?
But that was pre-cell phones and things like that. So it was easy. I was 24 or something like that.
Okay.
Or maybe I was 25, 26, something like that. But
how old were you with Kenny Knight?
I was Kenny Knight then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you in the studio? You just put war paint on your face, stripped naked, and ran into the woods?
Pretty much it.
I've got to leave.
I got to go now.
Got to go now. I can't play this next Cisco song. I've got to find myself. The thongs will still be here when I get back.
And they were. I was out in the woods.
It's one of those cheesy backgrounds, Preston, that are rotating with you running in
place. Yep.
I'm free.
So anyhow, we will see if this is indeed true or not, if they're still a couple or not. All right, so according to Page Six, Euphoria star Zendaya posted to her Instagram story on Monday sharing a screenshot of her tripping over some stairs in Rome with her hair falling in front of her face, and she said, she wrote, "I can't stop laughing. Did they really have to take a video of me tripping?" Yeah. She said, "I was trying to be cute today."
He is cute.
She added also that she shared a meme that was made from the still, in which it looks like she's flying in the air toward Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange.
I need to see this. I love watching people. As long as they don't get hurt, it's one of my favorite things.
Well, I forget who he talks to. Maybe it's Tom Bergeron, but, you know, it's getting less and less likely that the videos you see on AFV these days involve no one getting hurt.
Right.
Right. One of the hardest, because it's clearly a case where people are getting hurt. But
dude, so I used to do voiceovers for a few different TV shows, and some of them were like, you know, sports accidents, sure, and weddings and you know, things that would happen.
Like disasters.
And so while I would be reading the narration, usually a line would end, you know, fortunately, you know, the bull rider was okay after this. So that it was normally like a little thing. And the guy who wrote it would go, "I don't really know if he was okay."
Oh, my God, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
"I don't really know." Yeah. We just put that in there because, you know, it makes people feel better.
Dude, people on the scene were able to put his head in an ice bucket, and we hear he's doing okay.
Legs amputated for all I know. So you never know.
Oh, it's sort of the caveat you put on to make the viewer feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like his rib cage was ripped out, but they say he's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah.
The first official photo of Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al Yankovic in the Weird Al Yankovic story was released on Tuesday. It began production in Los Angeles earlier this month. The Roku original film is set to dive into all aspects of Al's life and career, from his rise to fame with his early hits like Eat It and Like a Surgeon, to celebrate love affairs and his lifestyle off the stage. In the photo of Radcliffe as the legendary comedic recording artist, the biopic's Weird Al is seen playing an accordion, wearing his signature large retro glasses and Hawaiian shirt. You can't really, it's kind of an obscured shot. Oh, we're looking at an offset picture or when he's on a break. But Radcliffe had said, "Wearing the Hawaiian shirt is a huge responsibility that I don't take lightly. I am honored to finally share with the world the absolute 100% unsalably true story of Weird Al's depraved and scandalous life." Yankovic had said in a statement when it was previously released, "I am absolutely thrilled that Daniel Radcliffe will be portraying me in the film. I have no doubt whatsoever that this is the role future generations will remember him for." Alongside Yankovic, the Weird Al Yankovic story is written by Eric Apple, who also directs and executive produces. And he said in a statement, "When Weird Al first sat me down against my will and told me his life story, I didn't believe any of it, but I knew that we had to make a movie about it." In response to paparazzi photos of Radcliffe as Weird Al that leaked over the weekend, Apple tweeted, "So happy that people are first seeing Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al the way I intended them to, in the base camp parking lot, partially costumed and shot with a telephoto lens from across the street." So, Steve, that's the picture we were looking at. But, yeah, we'll see. We shall see.
Over the break, I finally watched the Harry Potter reunion on HBO Max.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Right? I mean,
you guys have been raving about it for 2 months or so, and I'm mad at myself for not watching it until now, but it's just so great. And the three of them, including Radcliffe, are just so likable, and watching them grow up as kids and into what they become as adults is really, it's a cool montage of like their entire lives.
Oh, did you get a little choked up?
Oh my God, yeah. And
yes.
More than once. And you know, especially at the end, the way that they wrapped it up. But yeah, it's really, really well done.
That's how I feel right now looking at Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al.
Yeah.
Same sort of emotion.
Touching you.
HBO released a trailer for the 2-part documentary Phoenix Rising on Tuesday, which features Evan Rachel Wood's journey as an abuse survivor and activist. Deadline reports that nearly a decade after Woods' relationship with Marilyn Manson, which was allegedly harrowingly abusive, she co-authored and successfully lobbied the passage of the Phoenix Act, legislation that extends to the statute of limitations for domestic violence cases in California. Part 1 is set to premiere on HBO on March 15th, And part two will follow on March 16th as well. And then finally, according to Deadline, 8 of the 23 categories of this year's Oscars will not be presented live on March 27th. Instead, they will be taped beforehand in the audience and will later run at different points during the show. So it's things for like hair and makeup and so on.
Right, like that. Which actually, you know, used to be a mainstay of the broadcast, but now they're going to do the Greatest American Ninja Competition.
Listen, those are they are talented people that that do hair, makeup, and sound engineering and stuff like that. Incredibly talented, but from a viewer standpoint,
right?
So it's more of an industry thing than it is for us, the consumers of the movie.
It's true, they put them off to the more technical aspect of the awards that occur the day before, 2 days before. The one thing I think you need to leave in that main broadcast, though, is the special effects. People, you know, we're very special effects savvy. And I think the general audience likes to see those clips from the movies. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, there's definitely almost no movie exists without some type of special
massive
effects.
Massive special
in
effects,
it.
Yeah.
All right, so we are now ready for clips. Set 100 years after the original series, Vikings Valhalla.
Ooh.
Shows the warriors embarking on a new journey and encountering harsh conditions along the way. In this clip, Bradley Freegard talks about putting himself in the mindset of the period while filming. And here is the clip.
It makes you appreciate everything you got. It really does. Because you do have to, you know, put yourself into that situation for a limited time with your trailer inside, with your parfait latte coming. So, but you get a sniff of it and makes you appreciate what you got.
Shut the f*** up!
Parfait latte?
Yeah.
Vikings Valhalla premieres this Friday, and that is on Netflix. Here's our
Vikings series, Preston, is huge. For
yeah, it is. Yeah. Here's the next clip for you. Leatherface returns to the silver screen with the 9th installment of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. Here, director David Blue Garcia discusses how the killer has aged throughout the years.
In 50 years, the world has changed a lot, but Leatherface hasn't. He's kind of just been, you know, cooped up. He's not been surfing the internet. He doesn't know what's going on. And then one of the first times in our film that he even sees what's going on in the world is when he walks onto that bus. You know what I mean? And he sees all these hipsters with their cell phones, and he has no idea what's going on.
Thing sucks!
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is on Netflix now.
I saw it. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was like Burlesque, the movie with Cher. Very similar.
Okay.
A lot like that.
No, it was
I had no idea.
They were trying and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, it's been beaten to death.
Yeah.
It has been beaten to death. All right. And there you go. That is the entertainment report for you this morning. We have a secret text word today being a Wednesday. A chance for you to win a pair of Mountain Fest lift tickets Saturday, March 5th at Montage Mountain. You can ski, snowboard, or tube for the day and enjoy general admission to the concert, which will feature Spin Doctors and Verve Pipe and fireworks display following the show. So text the word secret to 39333. If you want to buy those tickets, you can get VIP packages at montagemountainresorts.com. Get all the details there. We're also going to go live on Fox Good Day. A couple of guests, our buddy Richard Curtis. The Classroom returns on Fox 29. And our friend Jeff Devlin is stopping in. We're going to be talking about the Philly Home and Garden Show, which is coming up this weekend. We'll be back in a moment. Hang in there.
An MMR VIP has its perks. Click contests at MOM to enter for tickets for this week's featured concerts before they go on sale. Dave Matthews Band July 15th and 16th and Coheed and Cambria on July 27th. If you're not an MMR VIP, you can sign up now on our website. It takes less than 2 minutes and it'll make you feel superior to all your friends.
Monday was a company holiday or union holiday. Anyway, we had Monday off. We took an extra day off yesterday. So some of us got around a little bit. I went to Florida to visit my mother and sister. Have to tell you, this Florida in the winter thing, there's something to it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God.
Well, that's the time. Honestly, is the time to be in Florida.
So nice.
It's oppressive sometimes in the summer.
Oh, it's horrible in the summertime. It can be absolutely, you know, the humidity levels and all that stuff. But when you're there and it's 75 degrees, and it's February, there is something so invigorating about it. Oh, and a bonus, I didn't have to visit the hospital while I was there, which usually happens when I go visit my mom and sister. Something usually happens, and I made it out of there unscathed. Not me. I mean them.
Well, you're usually heading down there because someone's ended up at the
hospital. That happens, yeah. too. Somebody usually, I'm usually going there because somebody ended up in the hospital, or my sister will end up in the hospital. My sister is a world-class klutz. She falls over things. She drops things. Things fall on her. I told you she fell into a dumpster and broke her rib not that long ago.
You also told us that you, your sister, and your mother like to do pretend bar fights.
Oh.
Yeah.
We've done
it. And so you choreograph
it.
It's just a thing you guys like to do.
And every now and then one of those connects and somebody will get hurt.
I mean, you can go to the level of buying those breakaway bottles and everything. It's just crazy. But, you know, it brings you together.
But no, I was lucky that I didn't have to go to the hospital. I did see an alligator in the flesh, and I FaceTimed Casey because his dream has always been to see an alligator in person. And where my mom and sister live, it's adjacent to a golf course, and there's the holes that back up to their property. They live in a condo. They have water there, and
yeah.
So there had been rumors that an alligator lived there. And my mom and sister have lived there for, I don't know, 15 years or whatever. This is only the second time they've actually seen the gator. And I was there for it. It's a good 8-footer, man. He was big. He was really big.
How far away?
20 yards.
Okay.
Yeah. Across the water.
Yeah, yeah.
I have pictures. I'll show them to you guys. But the golfers had no idea that right next to the green that they were putting on, there was an alligator sitting there. Like, they couldn't see it at all.
It's pretty calm down there, right?
And they didn't even flinch at all. I guess so, but, you know, there could have been a hospital visit in that with an alligator attack.
He came back intact. That's cool.
I appreciate you FaceTiming me. I was in the middle of Lowe's as my wife was, like, pricing out, like, doors and windows and stuff. And I was like, not having it. So when I saw the call, I was like, I have to take this.
I have to go to Florida.
This is important.
I have to go to Florida right now.
My boss is FaceTiming me.
Preston,
I got to go.
Make sure the alligator stays there.
Oh, and by the way, here's a text that says, I was on Preston's flight to South Florida. Great to meet you and talk to you, Presbo. That was a guy, I believe his name was Jack, and he was wearing a Preston and Steve face mask as we got on the plane.
Wild.
It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we had a nice. He was headed down for a bachelor party. His soon-to-be brother-in-law's, I believe, bachelor party was happening, so it was pretty cool. But all of this, you know, thinking about the hospital and so on, not having to go there was a nice little bonus.
What a victory!
I didn't have to spend time in the emergency room. But I did see a list that I found on, I believe it was on BuzzFeed, and it was people sharing stories of surprisingly waking up admitted into the hospital.
Could you imagine?
Oh, wow.
I know people who have.
Yeah, I've never woken up in the hospital, but that would be, man, would that be confusing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. This actually goes back to the story of the friend that I had who jumped on the hood of a car as a joke because it was pulling away when we were teenagers, hit his head, and he became a different person after that. But he woke up in the hospital. He had no idea, what am I doing here?
Like, yeah.
You know, it just totally lost that whole chunk of time.
There's some interesting ones here, and I thought these would be kind of cool to go through and maybe take some calls of people who have woken up in the hospital and didn't realize it. Like, it took you a moment to find out what was going on.
And how many of those were preceded by the phrase, I can do this?
Oh, yeah, totally. Hold my beer.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Here's an example. It says, I was hit by a truck while walking home from work and was airlifted to the hospital. I woke up a day later. A month later, found out that it was my best friend's older brother who hit me. Oh. All right.
Wow, that's not a good friend.
No, I guess not. Another one says, I was 18 years old, got super wasted on Smirnoff watermelon vodka at some club in Clearwater, Florida. And apparently I fell off of a tall bar stool, busted my head. When I woke up, I wasn't even sure what state I was in.
Jeez.
Wow. He said, and they go on to say, I accidentally called my friend's mom in North Dakota trying to get a ride to somewhere other than the hospital a decade later, and I still can't drink anything with that watermelon flavor in it.
Imagine how disorienting that is. I mean, you know, you wake up. Sometimes there's machines running. You know, you're in a room, or maybe you're in the emergency room.
Yeah.
So I never woke up in a hospital, but in college,
we did this thing called stacking. So if you ended up passing out in front of a, you know, in front of a whole bunch of people, they would stack you. And they would throw so much stuff on you, as much as they possibly could without waking you up. I got stacked with what seemed like the entire room. And so when I woke up, it was, I thought I was dead for a second because I woke up and I was, it was complete black.
Yeah.
And I
couldn't see. So you think you're buried?
I had no clue what I was like, okay, what is going, you know, and it took me a little while to get out from underneath everything. But thankfully, I was not dead.
You were not dead.
Thankfully, Casey wasn't dead. So here's another one that says, it happened when I was in kindergarten. Apparently, I fell down the stairs after I stepped on my own trousers. So I guess they must have hit their head or something like that. Another one, speaking of hitting your head, this one says, I was watching Voyager on television. Next thing I knew, I was in a hospital bed. Turns out I had gotten up too fast, had a lack of blood flow to the head. This is like you, Steve.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Passed out. Hit my head on the floor hard and fractured my skull.
Wow.
And then they woke up in the hospital.
So that, from point of injury or F up to waking up, you lose that whole thing. I can't think of anything more disorienting.
Here's one text that came in. It says, I woke up naked in the hospital bed. They didn't know what was wrong with me, so they cut my clothes off.
Oh, yeah.
I went into a diabetic coma while driving.
God. Oh, wow. Man.
Wow. Apparently, I was in a helicopter ride to the hospital, and I wish I would have seen that.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, that's what they wrote. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I would imagine it depends on what kind of condition you're in. If you wake up in the hospital, chances are you might wake up and, like, nobody's in the room with you. And what do you do at that point?
Scream.
Just sit there. totally disoriented.
Yeah. I mean, what if you've got, maybe like you might even have an IV in you or something. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
I knew someone who was in an accident. They were helicoptered from the accident. He cut out of the car, helicoptered from the accident scene to the hospital, and doesn't remember any of it. So, yeah. Like, it's complete blank to them.
Not the accident, nothing.
Nothing. Doesn't remember anything. Like, I think it was like he thought about it, and he said maybe like 2 days prior was what he last remembered.
Do you think that's a defensive mechanism of the brain to just shut off that
probably.
Stuff?
Probably. Yeah. He was in shock, but like, so when he woke up at the hospital, it wasn't like a waking and like screaming, oh my God, where am I? Like when he finally came to, because he was conscious when they were cutting him out of the car, he said it was just sort of like slowly, he was like, what am I doing here? You know, there was
someone. How did Lost end?
Yeah, but no, but you know, like it just was, he didn't understand it and it was very confusing.
Wow.
I'm going to go to Duncan. Hey, Duncan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, so I had a friend, I'm going to leave his name out of it, but he was at a festival up in the Poconos, and like a music festival, and he took some hallucinogenic or whatever and completely blacked out, and he woke up chained to a hospital bed in scrubs.
Chained to a hospital bed in scrubs?
Like straight up handcuffed. You know, like he couldn't move his legs. His legs and arms were handcuffed.
Oh my God,
so
like
he's at this festival.
Strength.
He takes a hallucinogenic of some sort, goes to the seahorse party.
Yeah.
and then when he wakes up,
seahorses.
No recollection, or could he remember the beginnings of why he ended up there?
Well, he told me nothing bad happened. It's just that he was in a crazy experience. No, you know. Anger, fighting, or anything. But anyways, he had to go back to the show, and they got rid of all of his clothes. So he had to wear the scrubs with his blood out.
Dude,
he went back to the show?
Yeah, he went back to the show.
After being handcuffed, I saw somebody in an emergency room, and they don't handcuff you to the bed if you're a delightful conversationalist.
Yeah.
You know, something's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go. Here, this sounds very interesting. It's Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, you guys are awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I was going home from work and saw the top of the ambulance, top of the helicopter, woke up next to my wife 2 hours later, saying, that's a lot of blood coming out of his head. I'd actually been run over by a SEPTA train.
What?
Oh, my God.
All right. Okay. Take this from the beginning. What was the last thing you remember prior to the being run over by a SEPTA train?
Oh, I was getting off the train. I'm like, all right, got to go home, got to get
pick up my son, make him dinner, and get pricing on the dishwasher at Lowe's.
Okay.
Those are the things that were going through my head before a train ran me over.
But nowhere on your list did it say get run over by train.
Nope, not quite. That was not on my list.
How did you get run over by a train?
Right, right. Yeah. I assume it cleared you, right?
I walked behind my train, and the one going back into the city ran me over.
Oh, okay. I never saw
it. If I'd heard anything, if I'd seen anything, I would have thought it was the train, my train going away.
Did anybody see it and tell you exactly like where you were hit, how it happened, where your body was thrown, stuff like that?
Six months later or so, mm-hmm. I went back to the train station because I was out of quarters and it was the only place that takes dollars. And I'm sitting there watching the train go by, and I turn to this woman and say, "Man, that thing goes really fast." She's like, "Yeah, I watched somebody get hit by one of those." I'm like, "Oh, really? Was it on June 23rd? Yeah, were you there?" "No, well, kind of."
You should have married that woman. It was meant to be. It just amazes me.
Under the train, Wicked the Witch of the West style, my legs were sticking out.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
How are we talking right now?
And they couldn't even see my head. It was my legs. I was unresponsive for a minute or so. Then I wouldn't stop talking. I broke 8 ribs, multiple cracks in my face area, but I was back to work about a month and a half later.
Jeez.
I was in the hospital for a week.
Do you feel like you're the same person now that you were before the accident?
I think so. My wife and my friends will say very differently. Okay. But I it was wild.
Chris, where do you stand on mass transit these days?
I don't mind it in the slightest. My wife, however, is extremely freaked out.
All right. Dude, honestly, I think everyone in this, everyone listening wonders how you're alive, but I'm glad you are.
Chris, what about walking across train tracks, though? That's got to be a little post-traumatic.
Trying to avoid that as best as possible. I also got little angry when I was going on riding SEPTA, going by the different train stations that have blockers out and warnings that says, "Hey, there's a second train." Wow. Things that would have been nice at my train station.
That blows my mind.
All right, thanks, Chris. Glad you're doing better, man.
Thank you.
All right, see you.
I mean, it's crazy to think how quickly it can just go south.
Oh, yeah.
And it really doesn't even take much. I was walking out of Chuck and I had lunch a few weeks ago. And the place is right on Montgomery. And, Montgomery is pretty narrow, four-lane road. And I just so happened to kind of like step on something a little bit wonky. And I tripped. And luckily, I caught myself before I ended up falling right into oncoming traffic. And I caught myself. I stood up. And then I looked at him. He goes, "Man, that could have been really bad really quick." And it was just out of nowhere.
And then he pushed you again.
And then he pushed me again.
But just in a second.
Just doing something seemingly routine and innocent. And it could have gotten really, really bad. So we're taking calls on people who have woken up in the hospital. You don't know what happened. All of a sudden, you open your eyes and you're like, where am I and what am I doing here? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. What's up, man?
So about, I'd say, 14 years, around 22, 23. I ran with the fire department, and I was sick. I didn't know what I had, but doctor prescribed me antibiotics. I had taken the antibiotic, and I got a fire call. So ran out the door, world's on fire. I'm running like crazy. All I can remember is the drive to the firehouse and putting my bunker gear on. And the next thing I know, I wake up and my grandmother, my aunt, my dad, everybody's next to the bed and they're in the middle of doing a spinal tap.
What?
And I have all these wires from my head. The priest is there like reading a prayer and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And come to find out, I was allergic to the antibiotics that the doctor gave me.
Okay.
But they had no clue what happened. I just, when I started getting dressed, my throat started closing up and I hit the floor.
So they had I assume the priest was just an encouraging prayer, or was he in fact delivering last rites?
That's what scares me. I don't know if he was delivering last, right?
Jesus. that ratchets it up to another full level. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I was scared out of my wits, and they actually had me already restrained to the bed, my hands and feet, because when they brought me in, they said I was fighting them so bad. They were shooting me with Haldol and all sorts of stuff because I was fighting security and nurses.
Wow,
and,
dude, that's so tough.
And you don't remember any of that, Brian, right?
I don't remember a single thing.
Wow, what was the reaction? Could you see a physical reaction on people's faces when you woke up?
When I woke up, they were all like, whoa, what's he doing? It was kind of like a shocker for everybody.
Everybody already started divvying up your possessions.
Give it back, everyone. Come on, put it in the basket. He's alive.
Wow.
And you missed Hobo Stew Night at the firehouse, too. Wow. So.
All right, well, that's pretty wild.
God.
Thanks for the call, man. Wow. Just having no idea, and all of a sudden you wake up, and then people have to tell you what happened.
Well, and then a priest is standing there saying, reading a prayer while you're in a bed. It's like, I've seen this before. This isn't good.
Yeah. Let me go to next Thomas. Hey, Thomas, good morning.
Yoo-hoo!
There you go. Yeah! What's up, Thomas?
Thank you for that.
Anytime.
I was on vacation in Mexico, and I made the really smart decision to go out on my own.
Ah!
What could go wrong? I don't really remember anything. I just remember walking down the street, and the next thing I know, I'm in a dimly lit room, and I'm confined on a bed. I'm laying on my back, and I can't really move side to side. So I start to get up, and a Mexican doctor comes in. They're dressed like a doctor. They don't really speak English. The lights come on. I don't know why the lights were out. And I have, like, guards on the bed. So I'm, like, squeezed into the bed. And where am I? What's happening? And he's saying, Caesar. That's, like, the only English word he's saying.
What was he saying to you, Thomas?
Seizure. Like
seizure. Okay.
Yeah, it's seizure. Now, I have no history of having seizures. I've never had a seizure. So they're saying, like, seizure and all this. And then they start, like, I guess kind of asking, like, for pay. And I'm very confused.
Oh, man. So, oh, they're asking you for payment. They're telling you suffered a seizure. That's all wrong. So how did the story progress?
So I got out of the bed, and another doctor, a very large one, came in. He's going, no, you have to lay down. You have to lay down. I get myself. I run out, and I realize I'm miles away. Like, I see the resort. I'm up on a hill. I see the resort, like, miles down the hill, and I just took off towards that resort. I didn't say, I'm not really sure what the hell happened.
All right, so... All right, let me back up a second. So they're telling you seizure. You run out of there. By the way, they took the restraints off you, I assume, right?
There wasn't actually restraints on me. They were underneath me on the back. So I don't know why I wasn't tied down, but I was, like, very squeezed in this bed.
Were you still wearing your clothes?
No.
What were you wearing?
I had my jeans on, but everything was piled up on a... chair and no shirt on.
All right. And so you head off and you head back towards the resort and you're miles away.
Yeah.
But you knew which direction to go?
No. I just saw the resort and went, okay, resort north, you know, and keep walking north. And yeah.
So
they got my shirt. I don't even have my damn shirt. So.
All right. So you said you left the resort. You just go out for a walk. And any recollection of how far into the walk you were before you lost memory of what was going on?
I mean, I felt like I was still on resort grounds.
Yeah.
I wasn't that far off, but yeah.
All right. So I need to know more of this. So you get back to the resort, and then what do you do?
People have been looking for me. Oh, so I was gone for like 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So they had called the police.
Okay.
Whatever they're called down there.
Police.
I get to the hotel. The people that I was with are out there. This was also, yeah,
This is a sad story. So I was with a girl, wasn't really dating yet. So trying to be cool with her parents. And a guy just disappeared for 8 hours.
Jeez.
So you're trying to impress a girl's parents. You figured this is going to be a home run when you come back shirtless. Wow.
All right, they call the police. You get back. Did you guys follow up on anything after that, or did you just chalk it up to I'm glad I'm alive and let's go home?
They know what hospital I was from, and my only excuse was I just looked back. So they were like, that might not have really been a hospital. And I found.
That's what it sounds like. Sounds kind of weird, especially since they're asking for payment while you've no explanation of what exactly you were treated for. They simply said the word seizure. What? That's insane.
I don't know if I got hit on the back of the head or.
Yeah.
And you never found out.
I was drugged because I went to a restaurant, but who knows?
Dude, you might have been jumped.
And you never found out, Thomas. You never found out.
Okay. Oh, hell no! I'm not going back to Mexico either.
And you didn't have a sore spot on your head or anything like that.
Nothing. I went to the doctor and I got back to the States. They were just like, I don't know. Don't go back to Mexico.
Dude, could have been worse if you woke up in the bed and they said you're pregnant.
Yeah. Thanks, Thomas. That's wild. So never found out what happened. That would mess with my head.
Always go walking with someone. I think too.
Yeah.
If you don't know where you are,
sure. All right, a couple more calls in. Casey, when do we need a break by? Because we're going on Fox Today this morning. Last call.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Somebody who's been on hold for a while. All right, let's go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Good morning. Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot
pie. Well done, Matt. What's up, dude?
How you doing?
Good.
So back when I was 22, I was drinking at Falcon's Field. Delco.
Yeah, baby.
And I just passed out from the bleachers and woke up 19 hours later in the emergency room.
You woke up 19 hours later in an emergency room.
I think we need to expand a little bit here, Matt, because it says on my screen that you were drinking in a contest.
Yeah, well, not like a drinking contest, but like shot for shot, like with my buddies and all.
Yeah.
Or just I drank a bottle of Jack Daniels and Jacqueline's vodka.
So you won the contest. Yeah.
And this was informal. It was not nationally recognized.
Yeah. Matt, how old were you at the time?
I was 22.
22 years old.
You're drinking at Folsom Field at 22 years old?
Yeah, you go to a bar.
What, is that where underage people go to drink?
Okay. Well, you're 22, drinking your house.
We're young, Casey, isn't that where young professionals go to drink?
Nah. We always drag out, so.
The Frontier Saloon is right around the corner, bro.
Listen, honey, you watch the kids for a while. I'm going to go drink up in the bleachers.
Matt, do you remember passing out?
No, do not remember passing out at all.
And what's the first thing you recall when you woke up?
In the hospital, just looking at lights.
And nobody was around?
Doctors were around me, yeah.
Okay, all right. And then did they tell you how much alcohol you had in your system?
I should have been dead.
Wow.
I'll tell you that much. I was past that limit. I shouldn't be here today.
Wow.
Dude, that was, again, terrifying. At least they didn't say seizure.
Yeah.
There you go.
Matt, how old are you now?
37.
Did you drink this past weekend?
No, I did not.
All right, good man. Did you give it up for good?
Oh, yeah, I gave
up
drinking.
All right, good.
Oh, man.
Nip that in the bud. All it took was
a near-death
19
experience.
Hours of sheer terror.
All it took was one scary call, and that was it.
That's right, man. Well, you're good. Thanks, you made the right choice.
Appreciate it, buddy. Delco! There's a Delco story for you, gang, to wrap with.
All right.
Well, it can be a pretty freaky thing. I'm happy to say I've never woken up in the hospital and not known why I've been there, but it does happen quite a bit.
Yeah.
We do need to take a break, so thank you for your calls. We appreciate that. When we return, the Bizarre File. And yes, we're going live on Fox Good Day this morning, so hang in there. We will not be gone long.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. It's not.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Fancy. Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Mark and Paul on MMR, we're going on Fox Good Day right now. Here we go.
I know I do half of these things. I want you to tell me that I look good and, you know, if I'm asking. Hey, Preston. Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Hey. Morning, guys.
So before we get into this, I'm curious about your opinion. Apparently, some women came together and they decided to create a list of things that they think that men just don't understand or don't get about us. So before you reveal any of it, do you guys have any ideas or do you think... I guess it's probably a long list. you feel like us women feel like you guys just don't get?
That we don't get? Oh,
about
man.
About us.
So now I'm supposed to try and figure out what you
women think about
we think. I don't know.
Don't worry. Okay, I'm mad at you at the end of it.
Let me help you out.
Oh, you'll help us out?
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. We hate nagging as much as you hate it.
Ooh, okay.
But you practice it a lot.
Somebody has to do it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, you know, I've never been, I don't think we, I don't have nagging in my life. I know, I don't think you have as well, Preston. I mean, yeah, but I mean, I can see that. No one, if you're not confrontational by nature, it's not something you enjoy doing. I can see that.
Right.
We're going to put, we're going to punch holes in this list, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like, I think, what is the movie, The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston? She's like, she was complaining he didn't wash the dishes, and he's like, well, I'll do it. No, I want you to want to wash the dishes.
Right, yeah, right. So, yes.
You're never going to get that.
And then, of course, he's, why would I want to wash dishes? Uh-huh. You
know? I love taking the garbage out.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, we can be friends with the opposite gender without being attracted to them.
Okay.
Yes. It never happens.
No. I believe that to a certain level, but it did maybe not the exact same type of friendship as you would have with a fellow genderite.
Yeah.
If that's a word.
Genderite?
Yes. And that's one of the species on Star Trek.
Yeah.
No, my wife has all sorts of male friends and female friends, and it's, I get it. I mean, for years, most of my best friends were women, and it wasn't that sort of dynamic. I don't know. I can see that.
Mm.
It's something I never... Like, if my wife has male friends, you know, and sometimes she'll go away with them for vacation.
And
sometimes, you know, and
it's a special arrangement.
Oh, my God. She's so sweet with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this next one's a big one. We really do want you to tell us the truth when we ask you if you like our outfit. Or does this dress make me look fat?
can I guess for you, Preston?
Yeah.
I think Rochelle does want that. And I think my wife, Claire, does as well. And I learned a while ago that the thing they don't want is they're not dressing. My wife doesn't dress for me, per se. She's dressing for other women. She wants to look good. And though I am a horrific dresser, I nail it with her, and she appreciates it.
I'm never asked.
You're not?
No, because I don't have, she knows.
Yeah.
I don't have a good opinion on that. Not meaning I would tell her that it looks this way or not. I'm just not really good in the ways of appreciating fashion. Now, I will offer up, wow, that, you know, you look really great today, or that looks great on you, or something like that.
If you thought something was a little bit off, you wouldn't say, it's not working for me.
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't do that.
All right.
Probably better. Good man. Smart man.
No.
All right. How about this one? We find out everything.
You sure about that?
Do you have something you want to tell us?
Well, you'll have to ask Preston's second wife.
No, we find out everything.
I don't think that's true. But...
Oh, yes, it is.
All right, Kathy, weigh in.
No, I think that's absolutely right. You think? I think they're dumber than they think.
Wow.
I think they don't pay attention to the details, and we are very detail-oriented,
so
we can find out that way.
But this implies that there's a wealth of secretive information that we're...
No, that
isn't the case. I mean, if you're going to talk about... here's a comprehensive statement, we find out everything. No, there's some things that you want to keep to yourself, and it may not be, hey... I'm having sex with every member of your family. No, it's... There could be something a little bit more... tempered.
What if it turned out that we let you think that you think you know everything or find out about everything? I don't know. That's okay. I think mutual role playing games.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. I think both sides play games. That's all there is to
you
it.
Both Preston and I have missile silos under the house. Mm-hmm. Our wife does not know about that.
Well, now they do.
Well, thank you for revealing that. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We will see you later. All right, so we jumped in late there, so we do need to take a look at traffic. So let's go ahead and do that right now, Kath. What is going on this morning?
The accident on the Pennsylvania Turnpike moved off to the shoulder. Westbound is jammed from Fort Washington to the Mid-County tolls. East on the Schuylkill, slowing from the Boulevard into 30th Street. Westbound, past Young to the Vine. The Boulevard to Belmont. 95 southbound slows the Betsy Ross Bridge to Girard. Aramingo to Allegheny. And then on the northbound side, we're slow in Wilmington. 495 to Martin Luther King Boulevard. The Vine eastbound slows the Schuylkill to Broad. Westbound from Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill Expressway. Blue Route northbound backing up 95 to the Media Bypass. Southbound from Route 1 to Media. 55 northbound jams north of Deptford to the 42 freeway. 42 north slowing the Black Horse Pike to 295 over the Ben Franklin Bridge. Westbound, expect delays from the downside to 8th and Vine. This traffic report brought to you by Boston Architectural College. Virtual open house. Boston Architectural College offers excellence in design education. Virtual open house February 23rd. Visit -bac.edu. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, so question. I'm watching the delayed signal of us on Fox 29. And Kathy, I want your honest opinion.
Yeah.
Does my new fuller beard look, my face look fatter?
Fatter?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know it was fuller. No, it doesn't look fatter.
Okay.
No. No, I think
you notice it
like,
was fuller?
Like a little bushier?
Well, yeah, no, I used to sculpt it more. I used to do
got it.
But you're going for a fuller beard.
And now you didn't even notice.
I'm sorry.
I don't think, and you're using Prestone, the new beard treatment.
Yes, I am.
That is also a... antifreeze.
And Kathy, I was a little disappointed because my new T-shirt didn't make it on Fox Good Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's my new Matt Foley T-shirt that I got off of Instagram. Oh. Instagram knows me so well, Preston. It was like, hey, I think you're going to like this shirt. And I was like,
I do like this shirt.
Purchase.
And you were hoping to get that on TV today?
I was.
You wanted to share that with Kathy?
I wanted to share that with
Kathy. To be honest, though,
share with you.
We're dealing with a beard crisis here.
Yeah. You're right.
You're stealing the air out of this.
Well, Casey, I apologize.
It's on the YouTube now. Is there any writing underneath Matt Foley there?
It's just Matt Foley wearing this.
Casey not only bought the shirt, he bought stickers of that, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how much Instagram spoke to him getting that shirt.
And here you are with a full beard. And
look at
I think your beard looks great. And it's been full for a while. I don't think that's a new thing.
WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Safer for your lawn, kids, and pets. And you can schedule their full service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Excuse me, Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds guaranteed. Man, did we get some stories from the Bizarre File this week. We're going to start with this one. It was in Australia. A man has died and another man has been charged with murder after an alleged horrific late night arrangement, they called it, involving a circular saw in northern Queensland.
An arrangement?
Yeah, they don't go into detail of what the arrangement was, but police will allege that two men who were known to each other drove together to a park, sat under a tree at 3:48 a.m. on Saturday. About 20 minutes later, the man's alleged arrangement turned grisly. Police say the 36-year-old man used a circular saw to cut off the 66-year-old man's leg below the knee. The younger man held the older man back to a car before he fled the scene on foot after allegedly using the older man's own saw to carry out the botched amputation. The older man was found by passersby in the street and was pronounced dead when emergency services arrived a short time later. The younger man was charged with murder and is due to face trial. Police allege the two men were known to each other, but the nature of the relationship was still under investigation.
So the guy dies. You think an amputation with a saw is going to be easy, but it can be dangerous, I guess.
They could not speculate on whether drugs were involved or provide any detail about the exact nature of their quote-unquote arrangement.
You've had a lot of stories of people relying on people who are not doctors for amputations. This is obviously all the rage.
Yeah. All right, so here's one that we got sent quite a bit, and you may have seen already, but the Olympics are always filled with interesting, heartwarming, and sometimes bizarre storylines. On Saturday, Finnish cross-country skier Remy Lindholm suffered a frozen penis during the men's 50-kilometer mass start race.
He said it was one of the worst competitions I've been in. It was just about battling through it. And with howling, freezing winds made for chilling temperatures, organizers delayed the start of the race by an hour and then cut the usual 50-kilometer event down to 20 kilometers.
No.
Lindholm's thin ski suit and under layers could not keep him from succumbing to the elements, resulting in a frozen penis by the end of the race.
I always bundle my penis up. I assume you do as well.
The 24-year-old had to use a heat pack to warm up his frosted bits after he finished the race in 28th place in just under an hour and 16 minutes in his first Olympic Games. He said when the body parts started to warm up after the finish, the pain was unbearable.
Oh, man.
Oddly enough, this isn't even the first time that Lindholm has had a frozen appendage during a race.
He's a ping pong.
He suffered the same fate last year at an event in his native Finland, a frozen penis once again. So I'm wondering the difference between frozen penis and frostbite on your penis.
That was my exact question, because that is...
It can necrotize, and the tissue can die.
And your penis falls off to be removed.
So I don't know what to extent his penis was frozen, but nonetheless, he suffered from a frozen penis.
I would, honestly, if I was susceptible to a frozen penis situation, I would give up that sport.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't care how much I love it. I love my penis more.
A Chinese security guard was kidnapped and used as a, quote, blood slave by a gang in Cambodia after he was lured to the country by a fake job ad.
Nothing about that description sounds good.
The 31-year-old man, who has been identified only by his surname Lee, was held captive and had 27 ounces of blood drained from him every month for 6 months.
This is my blood slave.
It's believed the gang who kidnapped Lee sold his blood to private buyers online.
He's like a private blood bank.
Yep. A normal blood donation usually takes around 16 ounces, 11 ounces less than the amount drained from this guy, which is around 8% of the average body volume of an adult.
Jeez.
As a result of the excessive blood extraction, Lee, who managed to escape the gang earlier this month, had multiple organ failures and his arms were covered with bruises from the needles. The victim said that he had been trafficked last June after going to China's southwestern region in response to a job advert for work as a nightclub bouncer. Lee said he was smuggled to the Cambodian coast by a criminal gang who sold him for $18,000 to another gang who forced him to work for various telemarketing fraud schemes. In September, his captors began carrying out repeated extractions of blood from him after he refused to work and collect a ransom, which put his life in danger. So much blood had been drained that his captors started drawing from his head because the veins in his arms failed to yield enough blood.
This is a warning sign. When we were interviewing with Bill, he asked both of us how much blood we have, Preston. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
The American Red Cross says that people should not donate blood more frequently than every 56 days, but for Lee, the gang was extracting blood every month.
Oh, my God.
He was only able to flee the gang when one member switched sides and was admitted to the hospital on February 12th, where he is in a stable condition after suffering multiple organ failures. He said he was used as a blood slave, and one of the gang members threatened that they would sell him to organ harvesters if he would not give them his blood. He said the gang would use electric prods to beat him and other men they had held captive. He worked as a security guard in Beijing before he was trafficked and said he saw at least seven other men detained with him in a large room. He said others did not have their blood taken as much as him because his blood type is O, which is a universal blood type. That is wild. Never heard of anything like that before.
It's a messed up story, but Blood Slave could be a good band name.
Like, yes. I think so,
death
yeah.
Death metal,
yeah.
You know?
I agree.
I mean,
I agree.
ABBA was a good name, too.
Good point.
All right, and then one last story. Let's go with this one. The suspect sought in a Chicago train robbery has been identified as a Loyola University student, recognized by his own mother, who reportedly dragged him to the police station to turn him in.
Wow.
Zion Brown, an 18-year-old sophomore, has been charged with armed robbery after allegedly stealing $100 in cash at gunpoint from a Meta train conductor Tuesday afternoon. After recognizing photos of a masked suspect seen glancing in the station security camera, shared by police and reported by the media as her son, Brown's mother brought him into the police station Calumet City for him to turn himself in. The detail was revealed at Brown's bond hearing, where he was represented by a private defense attorney who argued that his client was hungry and was looking for something to eat. Brown reportedly attended class after the armed holdup, and his lawyer asked the judge to remember her own days as a hungry college kid in determining his bail. The judge, Miriam Ahmad, ordered Brown held without bail. Ahmad rejected the defense attorney's argument, saying, as a hungry college kid, she herself would have never thought to rob someone, and granted the state's bail, state's request for no bail. During an interview with police, Brown allegedly said the weapon he displayed during the robbery was actually a BB gun, which he claimed to have thrown into a dumpster in an alley afterwards. He has no prior criminal record, but Mom dragged his ass down to the station.
Who would you rather be turned over to, the state or Mom?
Wow, that's a tough one, man. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Our good friend Jeff Devlin is stopping by. The Philly Home and Garden Show is coming up, and yeah, we'll be back in just a second or two with that. Stay with us.
Tool delivered an experience like no other in South Philly on Sunday night. If you were there, you know how epic it was. And if you missed it, you can check out the concert recap on our site, complete with photos of this visually stunning show. Click galleries at WMMR.com.
So this weekend at the Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks will be the Philly Home and Garden Show. And in our studio, we have the next best thing to Ryan Reynolds with us. Jeff Devlin is here. Yeah. You remind me so much of him.
You know,
do you get that a lot?
I do, but I am not cut like him down here.
We're not going to see that part of you anyway, so nonetheless. But no, you...
I do get that a lot.
You look a little bit, but your voice sounds a lot like him too, I think.
They say my cadence, and it's funny, because a lot of times when I'll go into the big box stores and stuff like that, and then people will walk by me and they look... and they don't say anything, and then they hear me talk, and they're like, "Ah, I knew it was you." And I was like, "My voice is that was like that? Like you can figure it out from that." And then I was at Disney World.
Oh boy, oh, man!
I was at Disney World, and I'm there, and a bunch of these teens came flying up, and they're like, "Can we get a picture with you?" And I am like so excited, and like my kids are there, and like this is the moment.
Oh no!
And they're like, "Oh my God, it's the Green Lantern!" I'm like, first of all, you couldn't have chosen a worse superhero to be like. You couldn't have said like,
Deadpool.
I was like Deadpool. Yeah. I'm like, come on! And I was peacocking. My back was out of. Like, did you see that? They thought I was like the coolest guy ever. And then I just kind of put my head down in sorrow. Oh, I'm like, still Ryan Reynolds, but I'm like, the Green Lantern is the one you picked?
Did you have to reveal? Did you have to let them down? Or did
I didn't.
Just go
no,
with
I
it?
Walked yeah. away crying. Yeah. I was just like, I was smiling in the front, and I turned, and my kids just, you know how your kids can just, they know how to torture you. They're like, oh, hey, Dad. And another time they thought I was. Oh, I want to say like Michael Bolton or something like that.
Michael Bolton.
I was like, I get Jim Carrey a lot too.
Yeah, but your I'm voice like, and your whole presentation is very Ryan Reynolds.
So speaking of presentation, I was trying to change it.
Yeah.
For 15 years, I've had the same damn haircut. And the other day, I was at the hair. I get my hair cut by the same woman for honestly, God, 15 years. And she's like, "You got more hair. I can do something with this." And I'm like, "Okay, do whatever you want." Scared out of my mind. Because the last time I got my hair cut different, I had it down here. It was the band days where I had really long blonde hair.
Oh, I want to see a picture of that.
So I was like, okay, fine, do it. And then it's this, okay, we'll do a hard part and we'll fluff it back here. And I'm like, as soon as my kids see it, my brother's like, "You look like the ass end of a dog." Like they just tease it. And I'm like, I think it looks good. And to your point earlier, when you're talking about your beard, I didn't realize how self-conscious I was about all this stuff. Like, I don't look at my clothes when I get up in the morning, but I was like, oh boy, now I have to be, I don't know, like it really tortured me. My kids just destroyed me.
You could seriously impact the perception of Ryan Reynolds if you don't leave the house.
Yeah, I'm like,
you could
how
hurt
am I
going to
look like Ryan Reynolds now if I have a different haircut?
Do you like watching yourself on TV? Like, you,
no.
Okay.
No, it's horrible. And it so at the first
I
part,
mean, not like it, but like, will you watch yourself just for like to critique yourself?
So, yes. Back?
Okay.
Or pleasure yourself.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Oh my God.
Numerous times.
God.
I get so excited.
God damn. I look just like Ryan Reynolds.
Well, because if you think about it, you're reversed, so it looks like I'm using the other hand.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is
it's like an optical illusion.
You're playing into this.
No, why not? Listen, I know. You think I'm better than that, but I'm not. But there's something to say for when I first started, and we had talked about this before, Preston, and is that I was on the other end of the camera. I was behind the camera.
Yes.
So yeah. When I did, my family did Trading Places or Trading Spaces.
Jeff was working the cameras and stuff.
Yeah. So I was the jib guy, so I wasn't involved in like the nitty gritty of the day to day. I would take pictures of the house when you guys would exchange the keys, and then I would be out. So when the opportunity came that I would get in front of the camera, all the people that were filming, and you know how Trading Spaces was such a like a group and a home of people, that when I got in front of the camera, it's all the same people. So it didn't seem as scary. It was scary when I started watching the first episode. And you're like...
Hypercritical?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, you're like, man, why in God's green earth would I say that? Or why would I do... I'm like, there's a couple episodes in Stonehouse where I was cutting my own hair. And this was, and thank you, Casey, for, because I'm sure you saw, I look like a Dutch boy, and it was like different angles. I thought I had it, like, I thought I had it under control, and then I saw the side angle, which I don't have, like, dual mirrors or anything like that. I'm like, like, who let me on TV with this? Nobody, of course, my fiance was like, you look like an idiot, go get your hair cut. But I'm like, come on, you love me for me, right? And she's like, no.
Well, you look, I mean, you're a good-looking guy, so it's not going to impact. I love Stonehouse Revival. My wife and I watch it. I have actually all the episodes on my DVR because we just enjoy, we love that whole thing. We love where you go. We love the history of the houses. Are we getting another season? Do we know yet?
So, I honestly, this is the craziest time of my life, and I don't know. I heard the other day that they were considering bringing it back, and this is we've been
they
canceled
should.
twice already.
Yeah,
and now I was just invited to go down to the silos, like in 2 weeks to go down to be one of their, you know, one of the family hosts. So I would assume it's going to come back. Maybe it comes back in a different form. We just bought a new property, and they're talking about whether or not they would create a series around this new property, which is, 1800s Stone Farm, and where we're going to run the business out of, and really kind of make it a community thing. You'll be able to stay in an original stone structure that's stripped down as original as it is.
I mean, this stuff is so cool. The show is so cool because, again, a lot of times you'll walk into a room and you know, Jeff goes in, he's got, the people have this old, it's always an old house, sometimes, you know, late 1600s, or you know, it goes back far. Yeah. You'll go into a room and the first thing I'll turn to my wife and go, oh, that drywall's coming down.
Yeah.
Because you want to see what's behind it. And the stuff that you find and the character and the stuff is so cool.
What really makes it rewarding is that everything is new every single day that you get there. I'm not saying it's always great. I'm sure, you know, we find things that we don't want to find. But I honestly believe that that's what, I'm an ADD, you know, by heart. Whether or not I'm diagnosed that way, I don't know. But, like, every day is different. And seeing the things, I didn't really appreciate history when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to follow with that. But now seeing it and believing it.
And this area is so rich
behind
it.
Oh, my gosh. When and somebody, you know, when we were talking earlier about your house, I'm sure you've delved into a little bit about the people who have lived in the house prior to you. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, you're attached to that deed. And you're like, you're part of history. And,
right.
You know, I'm not saying anything bad about Toll Brothers or anything like that or any of the builders.
It's just a different thing. Yeah.
It's just different strokes for different folks. And they, I don't know, I found my purpose and I found my passion and I found what really moves me. And I think a lot of kids struggling, you know, do I go to college? Do I not go to college? You know, carpentry, the trades, it's a necessary evil.
It'll never go away.
It's never going to go away.
Those houses have been around for a couple hundred years and they're not going anywhere.
I freaking love it.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a house that was built in the 1880s. And houses like that have a character that you just can't compete with, right? So you mentioned these builders. You can't compete with the character of these houses. But the practicality of these houses are, you know, they're 1880s practicality. They're 1600, 1700 practicality. And so in my house, closets were an issue. We just didn't have closets, you know. So my parents' room, they had to build a closet that they could share because the closet that actually came with the room was tiny. I mean, and in retrospect, like, what they hung in that closet were a couple of bathrobes. And that was what they were supposed to put their clothes in,
right?
You know? And when I lived on the third floor, and my things that were hung, my mom got an old clothes rack from a Strawbers and Clothier that was going out of business, and that was essentially my closet, you know? And so what you have to do to make these houses practical is pretty extraordinary.
So it is, and it is, I always say design is relative to the person that you're designing for. Mm-hmm. So, i.e. you.
I do not have as many shoes as Kathy has. So there's no way that I would need that collection. And honestly, the older I get, I'm realizing the less I need. And I look at my collection of things, what I wear, and what's really important to me. I don't want to say downsizing, but I'm like, I don't really need that. I don't need that. I don't need a closet that's this big. I do you a summer, winter.
Two bathrobes is all you need. Yeah. Just, yeah, like the pilgrims like did. Yeah.
Some ascots and yeah, robes.
Exactly.
You know, all this sort of thing.
And that long cigarette holder.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. But for me, it's actually been, you know, like when my dad passed, I take his collection of things of just that were in boxes and I'm like, this has been sitting in boxes for 20 years. So when people are designing, and this goes sort of to your point, you might not have closets that are huge. You might not have places for absolutely everything, but that's also a point. Maybe it's time to look at what you really need and then put that in there and then switch it around a little bit. I mean, there's sweatshirts in my attic that I love. I saw this.
Keep on trucking.
I by the way, I'm a creepy, awesome Ted Lasso fan. So, I saw you with the Believe t-shirt on the, I bought one too. And I bought the goldfish one. Cause I'm like, I cry when I watch that show.
It's
like, this is what clothing is. I want to smile when I put on something and I want somebody else to smile. So I just was like, okay, the Old Navy shirts that I've had forever, that they're comfortable and whatever. I want to wear purposeful things. So then I just started paring it down, and I think my whole entire wardrobe will be based on Ted Lasso.
It'll be great.
But yeah.
Why is he always in Ted Lasso gear? Oh, yeah. No, we're huge fans, but I mean, that's part of the deal. And do you dig doing the show and doing, I mean, the you know, at the convention center and the whole,
you know what
I mean? So huge.
It is, you know, there's. TV is different than the home shows. TV can get stressful and it can get weird. There's a lot of moving parts. Home shows, in my opinion, are awesome because you get to not only, from my perspective, get to shake hands and see everybody, but also see all of the other vendors and what they're doing. Home shows are there to inspire you.
I'm a sucker. So I don't even do any real home improvement. But you do get ideas.
Yeah.
And we got a kick-ass massage chair for the home show because you're buying like directly from the manufacturer, and like you can save major money on certain things because it's right there. You take their number and the whole thing, and I mean you can drop massive. Excessive prices on things, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, and for me, it's community. So these people at this home show are from this area.
Right.
So, you know, I know Amazon ain't going anywhere and what we do for shopping and the Targets. Sorry, Kathy. but I really think that we need to come back a little bit towards supporting our community.
Sure,
And in those areas, these vendors that are at this home show are local to you. So they're contractors. They're people who make home goods. They make, you know, cakes and all that sort of stuff. So being able to see them, meet them, and support them, I think is huge.
Speaking of community, I want to give a shout out to my local hardware store, Do It Best in Wayne. They're fantastic. And you mentioned big box stores, and they are great for what they are, right? And they're convenient, and you can get anything you need in them. But I prefer shopping in a local place, and I love asking people who are in the know where they like to shop and where you would recommend for people who are looking for stuff like that.
There's, for me, like... my needs are a little different than most. So if it's hardware driven, I'll go to a gentleman in Westchester called Monroe Coldren. He makes my hardware. He's a blacksmith that makes my hardware. And I think, yes, it's more expensive. I'm not going to lie to you. But the door, and again, if you want to put this in a 2022 house, you might not need a 16th century box lock. But I like it because it has that story, and every day when I touch it and turn it, it's something that's unique and it means something to me. So whether or not you spend a ton of money here and a little less there, it's up to you. But I prefer all the hardware stores that are smaller, that are still existing, they are family owned. Yeah. They're owned, and these people live in your community. I prefer the one in Westchester right near me. It moved around. There's Brandywine Ace Hardware that I love, and I don't get paid anything to say any of this stuff. I was there just the other day. They're very helpful. They're always smiling, and they sell the little chickens now. So you can go buy a little chicken.
What?
So
wait,
you need like a little, like little chicks. This is the time of year. You guys could have some chicks.
You can go buy baby chicks?
Yeah, no soup in here from what I hear, but you can have like chickens.
Yeah, we can. We've had all sorts of things. Yeah. We've had cattle in here.
Yeah, so down the shore, there's a Lowe's that's in Rio Grande, right?
Yep.
And that's, you know, and then right down the street from that, there's a Home Depot. But on Astor Avenue, there's this
the little hardware store.
That's
what it's called, the hardware store.
And yeah. So last year I needed a jackhammer. And I'm like, I got to go to Lowe's. And so I'm driving to Lowe's to go rent a jackhammer. And I'm like, let me pull into Astor Hardware, the hardware store. They had a freaking jackhammer for me to rent, you know?
Like, there's a big bin of them.
No, but this place is smaller.
It's tiny, dude.
But
like, you would never expect it. Yeah.
But it's just jam-packed with, I have not gone there and not found anything that I needed there.
Yeah.
You know?
And the cool thing is though, they know what's there. Uh-huh. So when you go, and again, I don't want to bash the big box stores.
No, they're all awesome.
Honestly,
yeah.
The only thing that I don't want to see is that I don't want to see them put the little guys out of business. So if they can exist in harmony, great. Most of these little stores, it's personal. So when you go into the big box stores, those people are changing all over the place. They'll give you advice when they may have never
been. Mr. Reynolds is here.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish. I want to meet him one day, too.
No, I agree. And there's something, even for at whatever level, I'm pretty inept. You know, I have a few things. I've done a few things, home improvement. All of it is fun. You become invested in the home. That's why the show, as well as the Home and Garden Show, is cool. You're attached to it. There's something very primal about this is my home. I'm improving it. I'm taking care of it. It's a cool thing.
Yet recently, I don't know what it was. I almost lost my hand. And
doesn't seem like you.
No. So I was in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. They told me I could possibly get my hand amputated twice.
What caused this?
A staph infection.
Oh, my God.
So
with all the blades you're dealing with?
So I thought you were talking about the injury you had at the camp for hunger.
No, that was still there.
Too. Okay. Yeah. All right, so wait a minute. You had a staph infection.
I said a staph infection in my hand. I woke up one day. It is swollen. You couldn't see between my fingers.
Wow.
All white,
what?
No blood flow.
Wow.
So for 3 days, I had no blood to my hand. I go in. They pretty much tell me that, look, we're going to do the best, but there is potential that we might have to amputate your hand.
Oh, and my God.
Right away, I'm like, I don't think I could drink enough to deal with this. So,
right.
And they tell you again right as you're going under. So I'm like, okay, what's it going to be like waking up without a hand? What's this going to be?
Right.
You know, I better start wiping my butt with my left hand.
Yeah,
like all this stuff.
Wait a minute. So you were getting a procedure done and you did not know if you would wake up with a hand or not.
Correct.
Oh, man.
It was a little, it's been a very trying year.
You've also had a stroke earlier in the year, too.
Yeah.
What the hell? It's only February.
Yeah. Back in March, I had a TIA. While we were filming.
That's too much information.
Yeah, right? I was like, oh, Lord. So anyway, this happened. I went into surgery. The doctor was amazing. But after the first surgery, it didn't solve it. And I had to get it opened up again.
Can you hold it up again? Because it is a very long scar.
So actually, you'll see it was up here. Oh, I know this does nothing for radio.
Mid-palm.
But all the way to here and then cut across here. Now, mind you, this was done in December. So the healing, I feel, you know, more like Wolverine than Deadpool these days.
Right, but I
healed so quick, but you can see the puff out here. I can't, like, make that fist all the way. I hold a hammer, and it flies out of my hand.
Oh,
boy.
So that's, are you expected to have a full recovery?
No, not full, but they do say that I'll be able to do a majority of the things that I did before.
What caused 80%? The staph infection?
What's that?
What caused the staph infection?
They think it might have been a splinter, and like most men, you know, I hate saying it, I let the splinter in there, I let it fester until it pusses, and then I pop it out, and then it's easier than digging into your hand.
Right, yeah.
But they're not sure. I have splinters probably in my hand right now. Right, but that was like a wake-up call.
Jesus.
We're going to make lemonade here. So we're going to make an invention. And it's become called the Jeff Devlin hammer glove.
Yeah.
Right? So it is a glove that you put on your hand, and then the hammer is at the end of the glove, and you don't have to worry about dropping a hammer.
I love it. Like wrist it on or something like that. Neoprene.
I saw a contractor who put long blades at the end of a glove.
Yes.
And his face had been incinerated for some reason. Listen, this is what everything you love. So
it's your livelihood, too.
The impact is a little bit. Once you fully heal, you'll notice it, but it won't kill
you. No. And I'll tell you one
terrible
thing. When you're in surgery and you look at the nurse and the doctor and say, I can't lose my hand because I'm a carpenter, they look back at you because I'm like, look, I need it. They're like,
everybody needs.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I was
right.
like, oh, okay, thank you for the perspective.
Calm down, Mr. Reynolds.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I'm like, yeah. Do you know who I am?
I was in Deadpool.
When you walk into a room, how often do people ask you to fix what's broken in that room?
Every time.
All right, so this chair's been squeaking for like 3 or 4 months now.
That's metal.
And it's really annoying.
So
me.
I'll tell you, it's a you want a dry lubricant.
Okay.
Don't make no comments. No. No.
Well, you have that hand where you don't feel as much. It's yeah. called the stranger, right?
Yeah.
What, like a WD-40 or
no,
something?
No, no. Oh. So the WD-40 is like a grease, and that's very oily. And okay. there's things that you can get in a can. It's just a dry lube.
All right.
There's no non-sexual way to say this.
No, it's too.
And you spray it on that area, so that way it will stop that.
All right.
From going.
Thank you.
I have some in my truck.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Actually, my truck is in the shop, so you're out of luck, okay. but I have something else.
All right.
You know, I spit on it. Maybe that'll work. I don't know.
How many times have I gotten that?
Everything else is going well, though? I mean, I know you have
everything else
the
is
family's
going,
well.
Everything else is going great. I'm getting married to my, you know, the woman of my dreams.
She seems very lovely.
We just started, like I said, we bought this new property, named it Sycamore and Stone Farm. It's out in Chester Springs, so people can come out and check out on our new location. It's a big stone barn. We're going to have, you know, Airbnb. Well, the shop will be below.
It's fantastic.
It'll be hopefully on Kathy's list fall activities at
yes.
some point.
She,
judging from your social media, she seems like she's a hands-on gal.
She is. She's always, like, honestly, she's more go-go than I am. Like, I, a couple of times, I mean, I think like many people these days.
You're more
just
jazzed,
going
yeah.
and going. I'm like, might need a little couch time. You know, I just need that in front of the fire. She's like, no, come on, let's go, let's do it. And she's obviously stunning, smart, beautiful, and has her own career. But when I, like, there's a picture of her on the tractor.
Yeah.
And she's a West Virginia girl. So Janelle is hardcore, and what you don't see in that is she's literally driving over cow pies that are like 3 foot tall and not even squeamish.
Wow. That you need that because you're always injuring yourself. You need someone who can put a tourniquet on.
Yeah. Oh, well, I woke up very interested. I mean, when I met her the first time, I'm driving. Her dad wanted to meet me, so I'm in the back of this, like, they call them mules.
Yeah.
And behind the mule is a rifle, and in the front is a handgun that's dangling in the back. And he's like, hey, you want to go for a ride? And I look at her, and I'm like, I can't do this alone. You have to go with me. I'm a little nervous. So we start driving out, and then he stops the mule, and he's like, do you know what this is? And I'm like, it looks like a burial ground. And he's like, yep. I think it's an Indian burial ground. Oh. And I look at Janelle, I'm like, what the hell? Where is this going? And I'm like, the whole time I'm getting hit in the back of the head by a gun. He's just men who don't say a lot scare the piss out of me.
Right. Especially when they're.
I'm like, speak your words. Yeah. Castrate me now or do whatever.
All right, I'll speak words. I don't like you and I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome. Your son, you have a son
and a daughter. This, yeah.
And your son has helped you out. And your stepson or soon to be stepson has helped you out on the show.
They all have.
Do they have a. Do you think this is something they might pursue?
So it's funny. Gavin, my stepson, there's two. Gavin, I think, he's going to school for engineering down at Penn State, and I think that he loves the hands-on. He really latches on to it. He likes the before and after, and he likes the challenge.
It's great.
Walker, he likes it, but not for too long. Like, he'll do it for a little bit, but he's more into other things. My son, it's tricky because I have a lathe. He loves baseball. So I just said, here's a baseball bat, like a blank. Yeah. Here's a lathe chisel. Put the chisel on the rest. If you take it off, it's going to go through your forehead. So less is more information with him.
Right.
And then he just started doing it.
He's making his own bats?
Yeah. So he started making his own bats. He sells them in school and stuff like that to his friends. Well, cool. He just plays around with them. And that's how I started. That's how we all start.
Haven't we all always wanted to make a baseball bat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It looks cool.
Never got to Wonder do that Boy. in a shop, in wood shop.
You have one we could all come out and do it? Could we have lathe day?
Yes.
Lathe day.
Yes. Lathe day, and we'll fix the squeak and Nick's chair. Just spitting on it.
No, it's awesome, man. I hope the show is renewed because I mean, we love it. We love watching the show, and we love the whole history and the whole... And before and after is a mind blower. And the fact that you can sort of realize where you want to go with the
CAD, yeah.
Yeah, the display that you do. It's an awesome show, so I hope it comes back.
Yeah, so the the name of your company? I said you didn't, the name of your house is Sycamore and Stone Farm, but is that also the name of your company too? Or?
So that's the name of the, you know, this is the marketing thing behind the
umbrella?
Everything. Sycamore and Stone Farm is going to be the property. Sycamore and Stone is the retail. Schoolhouse Woodworking is still going to be underneath because we still make
umbrella company is Ryan Reynolds Limited.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the
I do kids parties is Ryan Reynolds.
Schoolhouse will be what's on display at the Expo Center this weekend.
Both Sycamore and Stone and Schoolhouse
will very be cool. Okay. Yeah.
And are you teaching anybody woodworking?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm teaching how to make a bat this weekend. When you guys come over. So we're down right now because we closed the store in the mall, but we will be back up and going in a couple of months, and you'll see that on the website as well.
Okay. And where should people go for all things Jeff Devlin?
So as of right now, sycamoreandstonefarm.com is being fixed.
Okay.
The website? And, yeah, right now you'd probably be better off going to schoolhousewoodworking.com.
And now goes to Busty Exchange.
Yes. Yeah, bustyasians.com.
Or you can do Jeff Devlin Official on Instagram, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Find information there as well. All right, so the Expo Center in Oaks is where the event is this week, and it's the Philly Home and Garden Show, and this is going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can get tickets at phillyhomeandgarden.com. There's always great ideas there, and a lot of these booths like give free stuff out, and there's contests.
There's a ton of things like that. It's really, you know, you don't go check it out if you've never been.
It's
there's
fun.
Something that old hackneyed saying, but it's true. There's something for everyone,
and there's normally booze, so you can normally grab some booze and walk around and kind of.
Where's the table saw?
Well, the nice thing is they're actually letting me do two presentations, one on Friday night at 5 and then one at noon on Sunday, where I actually am building a stool, which you could take it and make it a table. You could take it and make it a bench, but just hands on. And they've got other cool guests. Matt Blanchaw is going to be there. And then I can't forget her. Ryan Reynolds will be there.
Mina?
Yes.
Mina.
Yes.
Subari?
She's awesome. From Good Bones. Yeah.
So we're going to actually as well. Yeah. We're going to have her on the show on Friday.
Okay. Ah. Cool. Yeah. Wait, she's awesome.
Wait, Good Bones. Is that the redhead?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a crush on her. Okay.
I think everybody does.
She gives you a good
bone. Got, like, she works. She's like every woman. Her mom's like cool and adorable. They're all, it's just a good pair.
She's going to be on the show next week?
No, Friday.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so we were trying to get her in studio, but she's actually currently filming, so we're going to Zoom with her. I'm a huge fan. Her and her mom, like, they're two totally different people, but they're able to, like, they know each other so well and do really, really great stuff on that show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, well, Jeff, it is great to see you. I'm glad you're on the mend and everything's looking better. That's cool, man. Good for you.
I can do jazz hands.
That's good. Yeah.
Jeff Devlin, ladies and gents.
Thank you guys for having me.
Make sure you go see him at the Philly Home and Garden Show this weekend, Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks. We'll be back in just a moment. Our buddy Richard Curtis is going to be on about the classroom. Stay put.
The summer concert season begins
with the MMRBQ.
Saturday, May 21st at Waterfront Music Pavilion.
8 bands.
A day filled with friends and music.
We love you. Thank you.
Starting at $25.
Starring Disturbed. It's just another
way to die. The Pretty Reckless.
Take me down.
Just put death by rock and roll.
Royal Blood.
I sing for
and Living Color.
Plus, get up close with
Low Cut Connie,
Crobot,
Lilith Czar,
and Jackson's Local Shots artist, Huxley.
More details at WMMR.com. MMRBQ 2022.
Everything that rocks your summer.
Very excited that our next guest show is returning. We had so much fun on this program.
Yeah.
And some of our other sister stations did as well. And now, teaching at New Hope Solbury School, please welcome our friend, Mr. Richard Curtis, to the show this morning.
Let's go, baby. All right. What's going on, guys?
How you doing, Richard? Good to see you, man.
Yeah, you too. You're aging well. Congratulations. Oh,
thank you. It has been a while since we've seen you, man. And so Richard, by the way, was hosting Classroom. Has it been, did you just have the one season or was that two seasons? How long did that last? It seems like it's been around for a while.
We got cut on COVID on that third season.
Third season.
Life was good, man. We were cruising right along and now we're coming back better than ever. It's like when the Jersey Shore got old and had kids, they're like, we have to reinvent ourselves. Now we're coming back. We don't have, you know, we're not, oh, we can still go clubbing, but it's going to be family edition now until the schools get back to, you know, their regular life and can field trip down. So we're offering the opportunity now for any of the listeners in your area to jump on with their family. It's going to be awesome.
So the actual show will return to the classroom, but now it can be the family edition. You can do special editions as you did, like when you had us on the show.
Exactly right.
So how long will this run? I mean, no one knows what's going on in any of this, but how long are they estimating this family edition of the classroom will be in effect?
Listen, as long as we have families who love each other and hate other families, this classroom is about to go head to head. It's going to be awesome, man.
I love the show. I mean, honestly, I kid you not. We'd watch it. We'd lead right from you into Jeopardy and do the whole thing. So we had all our quiz show for an hour and enjoyed it. And then, of course, I watch Wheel of Fortune afterwards. And then I eat my Maypo and my nurse comes in and puts me to sleep.
Steve, tell everybody just if we're going to let history talk here. Between you and Preston, which team won? Which team walked away with the cash?
Preston's team.
Yeah, we won.
Now, we won the campout version, right?
Yes, you did. And that's how you guys are 1-1.
I won. We were the proud recipients of a Richard Curtis 8x10.
Yes, which is still in the office.
Right next to the coffee maker.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
That's it. It's like a little caffeine booster with that smile right next to the coffee.
Right.
Listen, I love quiz shows.
Oh, they're great.
Being on that show was so much fun because I don't know when I'll ever be on another quiz show again. But the format is light, it's fun, it's interesting, it's intriguing, it's got all the things that you want in it.
I'll tell you what, it's even, I would say, in some ways, a little bit harder than like Jeopardy, only because there's a fair amount of framing in the clues in Jeopardy, and you're doing it straight up old style, old school, no pun intended.
This is truly, how much do you really know? And we like to put it right on you. You know what I mean? But it's not just old. It's not just young. The questions are all over the map. So it doesn't matter what grade you're in. But here's how it's going to change this year. Because you are making your super team, right? So now you're coming in with your family. But you guys know the definition of families is basically anybody you know at this point. Like your best friend could be your like closer than your aunts or uncles. Like, for instance, you could say, all right, you need an over 18-year-old. That's contestant one. You have to have somebody that's over 18. You have to have somebody that's still in school, so grades 7 through 12. Okay. And then that third person can be anybody. I mean, it could be your neighbor. You walk into Wawa, you grab a Gatorade, you meet a guy at the cooler, ask him to play. Is he smart? We find out.
I think this is cool because there's something that we wanted to do, and we can give it to you. Could you use mob families to go against each other? Because they certainly are combative. And
100%. I think that's a great idea.
Look,
and that's the best thing. If you know anybody, this is what's crazy is right now we're like on an accelerated schedule here, Steve, now because we just found out this is late breaking news. And the first time I'm saying this in public here, March 5th is our first show. And at this point, this is your opportunity where I can pretty much guarantee the old Rich Curtis guarantee here. If you apply, you go to theclassroom.com, classroom with an H. I'll probably see you there because you're going to be one of the first families on the show.
Oh,
right now,
awesome.
Seize
the moment.
You should do it. You should absolutely do it. If you have kids that are outgoing, if you've always wanted to be, listen, there's a $500 cash prize, but it's more about playing the game than anything. I mean, it's more about getting there, going to the experience, seeing what a live television show, or not a live television show, but a television program, how it's all put together, and then you put your wits on the line. It is just, it's a full day of fun. It'd be such a blast for you. So a classroom, how do you get signed up again, Richard?
Yeah. So, and this is what's awesome about this as well. It is the easiest sign up you could possibly have. It's classroom with an H. So classhroom.com. You just fill out, I think it's like four questions, like who's on your team. It takes about 30 seconds to fill out. And then you just attach a cell phone video and like, hey, what's up? I'm Richard. I want to be on the show because I'm a super smart guy. Give me $500. And then our producers, I don't know what they do with that. That's well over my pay grade. But apparently they pick from there. But like I said, this is the moment. This is the exact moment where you can say, family, it's time. We are going on a trivia show, and you can probably actually get on.
You are basically saying, done deal, your TV career can start right here with a minimum amount of effort.
That's all we do is launch careers.
That's it.
Yeah, we launch them.
And as Preston said, I assume the $500 prize is still in effect, correct?
Yeah. Do you ever get tired of your kid asking you for the brand new PlayStation? You don't have the extra money? Come on down.
Here you go.
To the classroom.
Just get on TV. No, it is cool. And it's a professional setup. Everything's run really well. Your producers and your support staff, they're fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, they make you feel good. So even if you're not that intelligent, I promise there's not that intelligent questions that are probably right up your alley.
Right. Hey, Richard, with a kid still in the Souderton High School, we miss you, but we know you found a new home. And how are things going so far as a teacher where you are now?
Yeah, so I got to be honest, guys. I do miss Souderton, but I'm at New Hope Solbury now. K through 12 STEAM coordinator. I'm in way over my head. I'm just swimming for my life right now. Having an absolute blast. This is crazy. I start my doctorate next week, so just add that to my schedule, which is exciting. Do you know what I really want, Preston, is I want to be on a plane at some point and someone have a non-life-threatening issue and be like, excuse me, is there a doctor on board? And I can just raise my hand and be like, yes, does he need fresh curriculum?
Yeah. When you can pull a joke, a joke like that, that eventually ends in a fatality, it's the best kind of laugh. By the way, Richard, behind you, are those 3D printers behind you that we're seeing?
Yeah, man, that's three. So this classroom, this is part of my job right now. I'm completely redoing the high school curriculum up and down the district, but we just got approved for a monster makeover here. 3D printers, that's my robot ring. It's like BattleBots, but in high school. It's
unbelievable. I thought that was it. That's cool.
Yeah, so... Yeah, honestly and truly, guys, I am so blessed to be here. This has been such a breath of fresh air. You guys know, like, you got to constantly try to push to that next endeavor and see what's in the mix. But this has been a great one. So, you know, I'm going to get some New Hope families on board. But, Preston, I got to be honest, though, too. I do miss that Souderton red.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, man, we're going to send people in your direction because I think you'll have no problem filling this up because it is so much fun. We can speak from experience.
It's great.
You got to be on the classroom. All right, Richard, we will get the word out, and hopefully we'll see you soon. All right, my man?
Yeah, guys, thanks again, man. Have the best day, and remember, study and stay in school. I'll see you guys soon.
Excellent. All right, Richard Curtis, guys, thank you. Yay! Take care, man. I'm telling you. Dude is the most energetic guy you'll ever meet, most positive guy. That one of the that I've ever experienced.
When the camera goes off, he's like, all right, back to work.
Yep. Got to turn it off.
Got to turn on the damn robots.
So fox29.com/theclashroom.
Yeah.
Not classroom, but CLASSHROOM. And you can get yourself signed up, which is really cool. Hey, I have a shout out. I have a really fun email that I got from somebody. This is from Russ Shelley, who is in Haddon Heights, and said, hey, I wanted to send a shout out to Ron Tyler from Henderson, Maryland. I made the trip outside of the reach of MMR radio waves to Queen Anne's County, Maryland, to buy a bandsaw from a stranger named Ron. Well, almost immediately after telling Ron that I made the 90-mile trip from the Philly area, he mentioned a friend turned him on to a Philly station called WMMR and a show called Preston and Steve.
Wow.
Well, it just so happens I was listening to yesterday's Best Of episode as I pulled into his house, and we instantly hit it off. Ron and I shot the breeze for a bit. We talked about tools, cars, bikes, and shared a beer. And thanks to you guys, a mundane transaction became a PNS bonding sesh, making fast friends of two strangers. Ron said he listens every day on your app, so hopefully this will catch him by surprise one morning. Thanks, and that is from Russ Shelley and Haddon Heights. Or is a shout out? That's pretty cool.
That is
encounter,
cool.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I love when that happens.
Me too. When they find out they have this in common, I dig it.
That's right.
You know what else I love? And I've decided to do something without consulting you guys on this, but I love when people send us little Preston and Steve and WMMR crafts that they've made. And I've realized that I've started to kind of amass like a little pile of them. And so, Steve, like your Batman statues,
yes,
and things.
You're collecting.
I'm going to create a little section.
You want a name for it?
Of my office.
Farts and Crafts.
Not Farts and Crafts.
Oh, I like that.
What about sharks?
Send us your farts and crafts or sharts and crafts.
Every time I heard the stupid commercial for Uncharted, the new movie, I swear to God they were saying Uncharted.
And Uncharted.
Like, yeah. Anyway.
No, these pants are clean.
So like, you know, somebody sent me this. It's sat in the background for a while.
It's lovely.
But it's this, I guess, is this needlepoint? I'm not sure what this is.
I think that's
or
granite.
Is it crocheted?
What's macrame? What is that?
I don't remember.
It's a type of pasta?
No, it's not. But anyhow, it says it's a coffee mug that says Good Morning It on it.
I love it.
And I love this. This is one of my favorite things. And I want to find a little home for all of these little arts and crafts. We have these little Preston and Steve pins that were made.
Like a gallery?
We had somebody who made these like dolls of you and I, Steve, that you can take a colored marker and color them in.
Where'd they go?
If you want to.
They were behind you.
I took them back in my area that I'm gonna create because they're kind of scattered about.
Yeah.
And I want to have like a designated area and put them on display.
Is all of the Franklin being used?
The Franklin Institute.
Yeah.
What about like by Kathy's desk? There's a
I have a spot. I have a good area. Nick, what is this you found here? What is it? Oh, this is needlepoint.
Yeah, I believe it's not macrame, Casey. That's a little more, I guess, elaborate or whatever. But I think the thing that you have over there, Preston, is needlepoint.
Okay, so this is a needlepoint.
We've gotten some wonderful things, Preston. Like there's this this little faux cassette. Like, did you guys get these?
Yeah.
Somebody did up for us out of like a plexiglass sort of thing.
Yep.
I mean, listen, if you're moved to do so, that'd be great, but you'll be added to what is probably going to be the most exciting new museum on Earth.
So what I'm saying is, if you have these little crafts or if you make little crafts, send them to us.
Yeah.
We'll find a little home for them.
Sharts and crafts.
We'll find a little sharts and crafts area and put them on display. Because we get them through the years, and they'll sit around for a little while, and if it's there for like a year or two, I'm like, well, it's just kind of taking up space.
You don't want to get rid of it, though.
And I might get rid of it, and I feel bad about doing that, but if I have a place to display them, I think this might be kind of cool.
There was a guy who
sent us... Send your charts and crafts to Preston, to WMMR, care of Preston and Steve, and maybe we'll find a spot for him.
A guy painted some rocks for us, and they were nicely painted, and they were really cool, but he felt like he didn't get enough credit, and I feel bad. I think he wanted like a segment on the show because
painted rocks.
He painted some rocks, and they're in the other studio. They're still here.
Did he do one with the blue St. Louis Blues logo on when they won the Stanley Cup for
well,
me?
Did you explain to him that
I'll go get him?
Pierre wanted to do a 4-hour.
Well, yeah, Pierre's going to do a sit down.
Special.
Yeah,
acoustic. We'll go get him in case his name's on there, and we'll make him feel okay.
Are you happy now
about that? we get these and they're fun and they kind of come and go, and I'd like to house them. I'd like to keep a little collection of these. So nice. Like I have like this somebody made out of wood. They had I guess they had like a laser.
They're great.
I don't know what you would call
like
it.
Like a laser burner, like a wood burner I don't know.
This wasn't done by hand. It's too precise. And that's from Jack Cutts. And he sent that to us last year. He said, it says on the back, from listener Jack Cutts. All right, Nick's brought me a rock. post on Facebook.
Oh.
Or else. Keep or rehide.
Yes.
Oh, so you're supposed to hide these rocks. Okay,
I got it. We didn't do that.
He did a cardboard classic one, and it's Upper Perk Rocks.
Okay.
So that's cool.
Please mention these rocks or I will beat you to death with them.
With them. Kathy, he did one for Kathy's Cuts.
Oh,
that's actually really nice.
I know where I'm going to put these.
Okay.
Not all of them because there's too many. And
why don't you put them in that art bin right next to your chair?
But I'll keep one of them. I like the cardboard classic one, and I like Kathy's Cuts, and this MMR logo is pretty awesome.
They were really nice.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry we didn't get you on air until now, but thank you for painting those.
And he was upset about this?
Well, yeah, I think he expected a little more.
He's actually in the parking lot right now.
Did he get in touch with you?
Yeah.
Watches. It's okay. He's watching you.
You know, water under the bridge.
He's cutting an apple with a switchblade. Just wait.
Wait, what is...
Boy, they gotta leave sometime.
What is the rock thing? Like, there's a painted rock on in the bed of our front, you know, right in the front of our house.
You keep a bed up there?
Did it come out of nowhere?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do?
Somebody dropped it off?
Yeah.
We have our next-door neighbor, this young lady named Arden, does this really sweet thing, and every now and then she'll paint a rock and bring it over and leave it for us. It's just kind of a gift. It's really cool.
But wasn't there...
Knock it off!
No, I thought there was, like, a...
I don't want to. Like peace, a tradition? Peace rock or like no?
Oh,
like
that might be it. Yeah,
peace rock. Turn it up.
Is that what it was?
It was like a kindness campaign.
A kindness,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
So it was like a chain letter thing, right?
Yeah. I guess, but I don't. It just appeared, and you know, it looks like a little kid painted it, but I don't want to get rid of it if I'm supposed to keep it there.
You're supposed to.
I don't know who it's from. I don't, like, it just was left there.
You're supposed to pay it forward by putting poop in a paper bag.
Steve,
lighting it on fire.
It bothers Kathy every time she walks by it. She sees it. There it is.
What, the rock?
Staring at me again.
Oh, no, not at all. I just don't know if I'm supposed to. Am I stopping the tradition by leaving it there? Am I supposed to move it?
Oh, okay.
Or are we supposed to paint a new one?
Some kid at Chop going, did she take the rock? Did she?
Oh, okay. I just got a text. The guy that I saw on my plane to Florida with the Preston Steve mask, that's Jack, who sent me this little thing. Jack Cutts. He even told me about it. I forgot when he told me about it, so sorry about that, Jack. But I have it. I bet I have it right here in front of me.
Off to a shaky start with this museum.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Put everything in one area, like if there's a fire, it'll get rid of everything at once.
Are you saying, except for the rocks. My motivation for doing it, putting it in one spot?
Honestly, the generosity and creativity of that people will send us these things that are like, Preston, I know you're sad over we had this beautiful glass
bong.
I mean, awesome. Whatever your deal is, but I mean the work, the craftsmanship was amazing.
So you know the guy that built the bed for you, Steve, the Batman bed?
Oh, Mark? Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's really talented, really great carpenter. He said he'll make, if we won, he'll make a display case for us so we could put some of the stuff.
Just get the right measurements.
Not yet.
All right.
Because I have those areas that I keep some of my little tchotchkes and collectibles. I have plenty of room right now. And by the way, don't send us big things.
I was just going to say, what are you going to do with all these things?
Little
you get?
Things. I'm going to display them. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, but you're now going to be inundated with things.
It's okay.
Some of them are going to be terrible.
What if we suspend them from the ceiling? Some of them.
Oh,
the terrible ones.
Kathy likes that.
I think over Marissa's desk, she was saying she wanted stuff hanging from above her. So.
Right. Just about keyboard level.
Long time. Once more clutter.
All right, anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I did notice some things that are worth mentioning.
Oh,
I know
God.
It's Wednesday already, so we better
get... noticing that it's Wednesday already.
Yeah, we better get to some noticing.
The noticing's good.
I noticed this story. It was a research project that was done about people ordering at a restaurant and whether or not their bill is correct or not. So this was from Telhi College. They had participants order two items while eating alone at a restaurant. When they were given their bill, one item was left off of it, and the majority of participants failed to alert the restaurant to the error. Women were 16% more likely to report the missing item than men were.
So an item that they had gotten was left off of the bill.
Correct. And they didn't point it out to the establishment.
How often do you look at a bill and see if it's itemized correctly?
I never do.
Never. I wouldn't.
You don't
even,
either?
No, I would never know.
You would have. Okay.
That something was on there.
Yeah.
No, because I 99% of the time, I trust that the restaurant's got it right. I mean, I'm there. I ate it. I drank it.
Yep.
It's going to be on the bill.
I do know people who take out their glasses and they'll pull up the receipt and they'll have their pen in their hand.
And the tip calculator.
They'll go after each. But they're making sure that each and every item, that everything is accounted for properly.
They shouldn't go to restaurants.
They left out my foie gras.
So customers whose more expensive item had been left off reported the error twice as often. So if it was something more expensive, then they would say, look, he left this off of there because the number didn't seem quite right. Although also customers who paid for their meal with a credit card were 20% more likely to flag the error than those paying in cash.
I guess there are restaurants I go to fairly frequently and I know in the ballpark of what the price will be, unless it was something outlandish. I don't think it would red flag to me.
The researchers say that this data shows people can tolerate a low level of dishonesty and cheating when making moral decisions, and that it's likely people paying with a credit card are more honest because doing so requires an additional encounter with the server who could possibly notice the error on the bill.
Since the pudding was $360,
yeah.
Is that correct? Yes, sir, we gave you a lot of pudding.
Yeah, I normally I don't take a good look at the bill.
I will. I don't ask for separate checks ever. That's also something that I don't do. But there is one person that if I go out to eat with, I ask her a separate check because I don't feel like dealing with her because she will itemize everything and she will question like the server about it. You ordered it, you ate it. What are you questioning here? Okay. What's happening right
They'll
now?
They'll be like, oh, this says here.
I don't think I don't think I got this. Yes, that's the salad you ordered. Like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
The toast never came. No, you got toast crumbs on your mouth.
I thought we got two. It's just always something. And so I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be embarrassed by her. So when I go, I mean, it's literally the only
person.
She's
going to itemize anyway, right?
Yeah, but it's hers. She can itemize her bill. I'm going to pay mine. I'm not going to say a damn thing. Okay. And I'm going to walk out. You want to sit there and go over your bill for 9 hours? Have at it,
the quintessential nightmare. So you would probably get, you know, shivers watching this, but the Goldbergs did the definitive. The family goes out to Beefsteak Charlie's. Remember Beefsteak Charlie's?
Yeah.
And I mean, it is everything you're saying, itemizing. We didn't get this. The portions were incorrect. The waiter's calling the wrong waiter for the table. Any waiter. I mean, on and on and on. It was just nightmarish. And I'm like, I've been out to dinner with people like that.
I can't take it.
All right, so that's one of the things I noticed. I also noticed this research that was done. Living in a space that gives you access to fulfill your basic needs as well as the time and space to pursue your passions and raise a healthy family is generally considered a good thing, but a new study finds feeling pressure to be happy can actually make people feel worse overall.
Yeah, I believe that. It's got to come naturally.
So
that's why clowns are so upset.
This is interesting. So Tilburg University researchers found people living in countries with the highest scores on the World Happiness Report reported significant pressure to feel happy, and most of them ended up having poor overall emotional well-being. God, you're damned if you do or damned if you don't.
There's somebody,
you live in a place where happiness is abound, but you somehow or another feel pressured to feel happy. I can kind of relate to this because there are times where, for all reason, I should be happy right now. Everything is going good, blah, 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 whatever. However you want me to qualify this. But for some reason, I just feel unsatisfied.
Right. Okay. Would you classify yourself as mercurial?
I don't even know what that word means.
Okay. Your mood's all over the place.
It can be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what mercurial means?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
It's the same thing. I was like, ooh, I wish I knew what that meant.
That makes me sad.
I didn't know that word.
How does that make you feel?
What that word means.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm supposed to be happy when I'm this dumb.
Moody. But,
I mean, I would not great swings,
right.
not to the extent of where I'm like
porch swings,
right? That I would feel like I have a bipolar, like
crazy
happy and then crazy sad or anything along those lines. But I don't know. There are just times where I'm like, for all intents and purposes, I should be pretty satisfied right now, but I'm not.
And you're not. But also plays with you a little bit. Like you're like, why aren't you?
I've talked about this many times. It's what you have to do is give yourself the permission to feel that way because it's a never ending loop.
Yeah.
Now I feel stupid for feeling
right
because there's no reason I should. And then you get out of it quicker.
I'm sure that this study has been done, but it made me think, Preston, when citing this study that you're talking about right now, the amount of time spent on social media versus the amount of time you feel happy. And if you're in a country, like, I wonder what the percentage of time where these quote-unquote happy countries exist, how much time they actually spend on social media. Like, if that affects their overall happiness.
I'm sure there's studies that were pertaining to that. And my guess, my armchair guess, is that those who spend more time on social media are not as happy.
Well, it's like there's this projected happiness on social media, for example. So, like, you talk about, you know, somebody always looks great on Instagram, but you know that their life is not always that way. But then you feel pressure to feel as happy as they do, even though they don't really feel happy, because you see them being happy as much as
an artificial world.
It is, yeah.
The Truman Show.
But that artificial world informs your mood, right?
I know.
Your mentality.
And here we go. Let's add to this a little bit more. If you see some social media posts of a, say, a family or a couple or whatever it is, and they're happy all the time, I don't want you to be happy. I'm tired of seeing you happy.
Shut up, happy
you know
person.
What? Show me something that's not happy. You know what I mean?
Well, there's also because you know that they're
that
not
deep into it.
You know they're not perpetually happy. You're just putting your you know who. Unless you're one of these Instagram criers who really likes to.
Now, see, I don't want to see that either.
I don't know what's going on.
I know.
My Shih Tzu has rickets.
I know what you mean, man. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
So the apparently going back to this study, the study author said that the level of happiness individuals feel pressured to achieve may be unattainable and reveal differences between an individual emotional life and the emotions society approves of. This is exactly what we were talking about.
This is why you... Well, go ahead.
This discrepancy...
I'll let you complete this, doctor.
Between an individual and society may create a perceived failure that can trigger negative emotions. In countries where all citizens appear to be happy, deviations from the expected norm are likely more apparent, which makes it more distressing.
Do you know who's probably the happiest?
Who?
The guy who takes a dump on a city street.
Yeah. He's free to do
it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care how I'm judged.
As long as he's not getting arrested that day.
Yeah.
And who knows? That's, might like it because he's getting a free mail.
To meet people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got fingerprinted. How cool.
Speaking of social media, and I don't know what I did with the story. I had it, but I did see a story of a mother who made a bet with her son when he was 12 years old. She told him that if he stayed away from social media until he was 18, that she would give him $1,800. And in the story report, the kid, he's only 12, and he thinks, like, $1,800 is enough to buy, like, a brand new car and stuff like
good.
All this stuff.
Keep him stupid.
So he decided to go through with it and she's like, look, it's just a bet. You know, I mean, this is no big deal. You know, it's just if you don't, then you don't get the money. Right. If you do, you do. Well, he did, and he stayed off. He didn't have any social media accounts whatsoever. He just turned 18, and so she gave him the $1,800. And so now he's signed up for Instagram and Snapchat and these other things. But he has missed out on all of it. And, like, this whole time amongst, you know, people that he would meet socially, not they didn't know him well, but just passingly, he would, like, pretend that he was on social media and knew what they were talking about, but he had no clue about the goings-on of social media. It's kind of an interesting little experiment that he did with his mom. And she thinks that he's better off for it.
His Twitter handle is at abusivemother.
Right.
I
saw an interview with him, and they seem cool with it. A really good family.
This speaks to this other story that's in the news, Preston, about this 14-year-old, this girl just turned 15, she's a cute girl. The father, a stalker shows up at the house. Did you see the story? I think it was
You told me about it. I haven't seen the story yet, though.
This guy's... The father shoots the stalker. The stalker's coming in to get the 14, 15-year-old girl. She's got like a million followers
like
on TikTok.
Like a teen
right? Yes.
influencer, right?
Influencer. She's cute. You know, she's got the whole thing. She's bubbly. Now she's going to court for another stalker they're trying to get a restraining order on. I'm like, Dad, take her off.
Yeah.
Take her off. And she's like, well, I built up all these followers, and why are these people ruining it for me? And I'm like, You've already had two incidents with people who are coming after you.
And as a parent, that would be a difficult dance because she's got a million some odd followers, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to kind of wreck her life if Dad yanks her off of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
As a 14-year-old seeing it that way.
Now, she's not an idiot on knowing the ramifications of having a dude show up,
right,
with, you know, to obviously go after her, and then this other guy. But now the dad's like, you know,
yeah,
I'm like, you have the option of saying you don't want to be I should have put my foot down and stopped this, or else move and go, you know, go live in one of those old converted nuclear silos,
right,
missile silos in Montana, and keep her away from the general public, because that can't end well.
It's a lot for an adult to handle, right? And for a 15-year-old to be able to handle it well, that's expecting too much of her.
Yeah, the picture's up here in the studio of this girl. So
yeah, Nick's pulled this up over here. She's very, very pretty. So you could see somebody, a deranged individual, might become obsessed with somebody like
and
that.
And she had initially, this is her mindset. This guy was, you know, very much into her. She doesn't know how old this guy is. He's some old pervert. And so she's he asked for pictures, and so she sent him pictures, not nudies or anything, but like sent for like $5, and here you go. She goes, I thought that would be enough.
Yeah,
that would be enough. And wow. That was the guy who showed up at the house. You know
that's terrifying.
My son's 15, and he's a really bright kid. He's a good student, but he's also an idiot. He's a 15-year-old boy who's just a stone cold moron half the time. And you look at somebody that is this old with that much responsibility. It's too much. Like they can't handle it well all the time. And when stuff like this happens, I'm not surprised, but I'm still. You feel like protective of somebody like this.
Nick, I was talking to my OnlyFans followers last night.
Yeah.
And there I am, my legs akimbo.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, what's with kids these days?
Right. Yeah. It's hard to tell.
And then
right?
I did my, you know, I did my fart and everything.
Right. Send $50.
Yeah. In a jar or
No, but I put talum on my butt. So
okay, so it looks.
It makes it looks like a dragon's breath, I call it. I call it the dragon's breath. And I'm saying, this world has gone to hell in a handbasket.
Dragon's breath.
Anyway.
is there no sanity?
Yeah. I get it.
Anybody else get a mental picture?
Yeah, sadly.
Okay. Me too, right. I can't. Yeah.
That's what the old pros used to call
that anymore.
Theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind, right, Bill? Hey, Bill Weston?
Yeah.
Hey. Steve, I have a friend who admitted to me recently that she is addicted to OnlyFans, and she is addicted to following all sorts of different people, but, like, she can't stop doing it.
So isn't that at a...
And she's spending a lot of money.
Yes.
Like, I need to take a break on this.
Because that's at a cost per...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's... You don't just follow a ton of people. You're paying to follow each of those people.
And like everything on the internet, the algorithm says, yo, you like this person, you're going to like these 7 other people. And so she does. And she drops, like, hundreds of dollars a day.
I have a question, because I usually think of guys doing that. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
Is she following men, or is she following women? Is she gay?
No, she's bi.
Okay.
So she follows men and women. She follows women, like porn stars.
All right.
But I think, like, it's a bit of a sex addiction. And she's really, really into it. And she knows this. She just keeps coming back to it, you know?
That's ridiculous. Can you give her my OnlyFans?
You know what? I don't think she's seen the dragon.
Is it all porn?
It's mostly porn.
It's mostly porn, yeah. Okay.
Kathy, the amount of money. There's a great, and this, Nick, I think you saw it as well. It was about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
That documentary?
Right, on Hulu. At that point, so people really who... are unattractive. The people that would be having a sheet pulled over them at an accident scene, these people are making loads of money on the OnlyFans at that time, because somewhere somebody is into whatever they're hawking. And so you remember how it was just about 6-7 months ago, Preston? OnlyFans thought they were going to put the foot down on any questionable material, and everyone went ballistic because people have given up actual careers to sit in their bedrooms or whatever and do the OnlyFans stuff.
Okay, so I've not paid attention to this at all. Is it like an Instagram where you're scrolling through different people?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just paying. See, I thought OnlyFans meant like that one single person.
That's
had
it, Kathy.
An OnlyFans, and you would go to their website.
You can go through the list of like avatars, from what I understand. I've not been on it, but they show it in the documentary. The interface might have changed. And then you select the people you want to subscribe to, and that is at a cost to subscribe to these people, the fans. So what it does is it provides you, if you could interact with someone, you know, on a more personal level, or at least perceived personal level, that's the enticement of OnlyFans.
Okay.
It's not how it started. It wasn't originally like for this type of
material. It
was
a home improvement site.
Well, I mean,
you
could sell art on there. You could sell, like, if you wanted to work on your movie career. Like, it was for people, it was for individuals who wanted to build up a rep outside of the normal channels. And so they were able to do so. And then, like happens with many industries, porn got its fingers in there and started no pun intended.
Isn't it primarily now perceived as that? That's it, right?
When you say
I have an OnlyFans account, you don't think you're doing the dragon's breath. There used to be late. You're right. There would be stand-up comedians.
Sure.
It was like a sort of an alternative to Patreon or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, I'm going to notice another thing. That was a conversation that went from
went all over the place, didn't it, noticer?
Not being able to be happy. All right, so I thought this one was completely different than anything we've spoken about, but apparently listening to something on headphones is a different experience than listening to audio on speakers. And there's a deeper look at this.
So took a survey to figure this out?
No, it was researchers actually did this. So University of California researchers found headphones have a much more powerful impact on listeners' perceptions, judgments, and behaviors. The study co-author On Amir explains, we find that headphones produce a phenomenon called in-head localization.
Okay.
Which makes the speaker sound as if they are inside your head. Consequently, listeners perceive the communicator as closer, both physically and socially.
I think that's kind of a given, right? I mean, when you were a teenager and getting into rock, and you really wanted to listen to something, wouldn't you pop the headphones on?
Yes, but I think they're saying more so someone speaking to you. So.
I was thinking music. Like, I was specifically thinking of working out. So as opposed to, like, listening to the music on the speakers at the gym or the headphones that are in, like, I would get much more enjoyment or helpful, you know,
so when you put on Let's Get Physical by Olivia Newton-John,
exactly,
working out.
Like, you will see me doing toe touches. Yeah.
I want to get physical. Let's get into physical. Let me hear your body talk. Body talk. Let me hear your body talk.
My favorite is Let's Get Animal.
Let's Get Animal.
That's one of the lyrics.
Yep.
Beautiful song. This is our wedding song, my wife.
Put your headphones on now and listen, if you will, to get the
put on your pastel-colored headband.
I would absolutely do that with music. Want to get more out of the experience. But
would want to get more physical.
Put the headphones on. But, Steve, they're saying if scientists find that this has a major implication for audio advertisements, remote work, as well as education and industry training.
Do you listen
so
to...
when
by myself, I'll take you physically.
Wow.
Physically.
Mm. Let's get physical. Yeah. I'll take you behind the fence there and look at physical. I want to hear your body talk. Body talk.
By myself, I'll take you physically.
All right. And one, and two, and dip.
One, two,
Sasha,
three.
You didn't bring it today.
Get away from me.
You don't get any cucumber water.
It's the Rizzo workout.
Yeah. One, two, three.
It's called the Sweat Lodge.
One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three.
All right.
Just the three of us, four of us, me and you.
Coming next week, four.
But you don't have the courage.
Yeah, to get up and work out like that, like he was.
You're a coward.
Yep, that's him trying to, you know,
he's motivating you.
Come on, get push it. Yeah. Go further. Come
Let
on.
Me hear your body talk.
Yeah, you're a coward. Come on.
And I'll do it along with you.
Yeah.
You're a creep.
See, that's with the student is kind of shaky and feels nervous. Yeah. I'll do it along with you.
Yeah.
You're less than a man.
It's him motivating.
Yeah.
Trying to call
you're less than a man.
A crumb and a creep. And
one, two, three.
Yeah.
There's a whole side to Rizzo that we didn't know. He had his spas and his salons and stuff like that, but the workout facilities, crumb bums.
Get away from me. I love the get
you're
away
you're a real crumb bum.
Can I hear the get away from me? Oh, I just love that. Yeah.
Get away from me.
Yeah.
That's better than this
listen
one.
To
get
that.
Away from me.
Where does that resonance come from? From like smoking?
Get away from me.
Get away from me.
Get away from me.
Yeah, just get away.
Go put on your workout leotards. Yeah. You're less than a man.
All right, so anyhow, back to the headphone thing. So so if you want to put someone through a training session or something like that, physically.
Yeah. You got to get physical.
I'm not going
to
do it.
Putting the headphones on as opposed to listening through a speaker in front of you is going to have a deeper, direct, more... internal connection.
That I do see. I do see that. I think that makes sense. I will, when I'm doing any sort of work around the house, I will put on an audiobook, and it does, I do find it sort of transcends.
So if you were to hear that across the room on a speaker, wouldn't quite have the same impact, you know what I mean?
I think it tends to focus you, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what it does. You're not distracted by ambient sounds.
Yes.
Which is an obvious thing, but I think, for example, like at a spin class or something where you're going to get physical, if you could be hearing the instructions through headphones,
yep,
it might make you focus more. Is that what you're saying?
I believe so.
Dr. Elliot?
Something along those lines.
Wait, yep. Side note, the like AirPods and those things that people are using all the time now, I can't believe how they block out the ambient sound. Like, it's a little bit scary to me.
You know, there's a setting, you know. You can set through sound.
Nick and Casey wear them in the morning, and I can be speaking at a regular, normal speaking voice, and nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. They don't hear me at all.
Because I just got them. Steve, I need to explore that, because it honestly makes me a little bit nervous.
Which kind did you get?
The Apple ones.
Okay, so they're in the app, you can set through sound.
Okay.
So the same way that you can talk when you answer a phone call,
right,
that allows that speaker to be up a little bit, so you're hearing.
Like, I'm only wearing one right now because I want to be able to hear.
So George Michael.
I hate those things. I never wear them ever. They don't fit on me. None of them.
Just small ear holes.
I have small ear holes.
Yeah.
And I've looked for custom things, and it's like I'm a freak of nature. It's like I can't be the only one.
Can I recognize something?
Be the only one.
An OnlyFans page called Small Holes.
Small Holes.
You know, Press,
tight holes.
I actually met somebody on Friday. She actually wears hearing aids,
mm-hmm,
and they're also her headphones as well. So those are actually molded to her ears.
Yeah, I have those. I have Sonics. Oh, man.
For your drums, right?
Yeah. And I had those custom made molds, and they you have to actually kind of twist them to get them in there because they're molded perfectly. I went to an audiologist.
Right.
They made a mold of my ears.
But are those earplugs or earphones?
They can be used as earphones.
Yeah.
But they're not convenient like the little earbuds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, because they hang on your ears.
And the jobbers didn't work for you, huh?
No, they won't fit.
Wait, they're the only ones that worked for me.
They won't fit
in tightly.
What happens? They fall out? Is that the problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they fall out.
You're putting them in your ears, right?
I'm putting them in my ears, and they fall out. I hate it.
Every time I pass gas.
All right, well, anyhow, headphones are going to make more of a direct connection, should you need to be. Maybe this could work for kids or something like that, if they're trying to learn a lesson or like that, instead of having a monitor or something like that that has a speaker on it, plug the headphones in.
What if Bill had us wear headphones and talk to us during the meeting?
In the meeting.
Yeah.
We would focus more.
Maybe that would work.
Get away from me.
Are we having a meeting today?
Yeah.
Oh. Checking. We'll bring our headphones.
No. Yeah, right. We'll just wear headphones, not plugged into anything at all.
Get away from me.
What, Bill?
Well, just nod every now and
then. Every once in a while. And
how come I'm hearing Olivia Newton-John?
All right. That's all I noticed. That's it. I didn't notice anything else other than
Santa's got to go.
I noticed we need to take a break.
Okay.
So we will we'll wrap
Santa's
things up. Santa's got to
go.
We'll wrap things up. When we come back, though, we will get into some bizarre file stories. I'm telling you, there were so many great stories over the past few days. I still have some amazing stuff to share with you. So we'll do that in just a second. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's band is Pawn Shop Roses.
I'm so happy you found me, but then you drowned me at the party.
Pawn Shop Roses, your local Shots Artist of the Month. Check them out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks, Philly.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get to some stories from the Bizarre File, which are brought to you by Live Casino and Hotel in Philadelphia, voted the best overall gaming resort in Pennsylvania. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Story out of Australia. Natasha Beth Darcy has been sentenced to a maximum of 40 years in jail for murdering her partner, Matthew Dunbar. A jury found Darcy guilty of sedating and murdering the farmer after she was made the sole beneficiary of his multimillion-dollar property.
Oh, wow.
She sedated him with a cocktail of drugs, blended in a Nutribullet, by the way, and then she gassed him to death.
Oh.
at the time, and she used helium. So at the time, Mr. Dunbar's death...
I don't feel so good.
At the time of his death, Darcy told police and friends the 42-year-old had died by suicide using a combination of helium and drugs. Darcy's murder trial heard how she pressured Mr. Dunbar to change his will months after they met on a dating site, and of her extensive web searches on how to kill him undetected.
How devious.
Mm, yeah.
How diabolical. So I didn't realize excessive exposure to helium could kill someone?
Well, if there's no oxygen.
Right.
And you're breathing that, then yeah, that's what's going to happen. So between February and August, Darcy Googled hundreds of different ways to murder Mr. Dunbar. On the night of his murder, possibly after she had killed him, she used his phone to search, does helium show up in an autopsy?
Oh, my God. Let me check into this.
Some of the other searches include 11 toxic wild plants that look like food, how to commit murder, 99 undetectable poisons, plastic bag suffocation, how long after suicide is there a crime scene, can police see deleted text messages. Mr. Dunbar also helped care for Darcy's three children, by the way, after she went back to jail in 2016 for breaching her parole, having served time for sedating her estranged husband, a guy named Colin Crossman, and burning down their family home while he slept in 2009.
She's a demon.
Yeah. Bizarrely, listen to this.
Yeah.
Mr. Crossman, her first husband, was the first paramedic on the scene after Mr. Dunbar was murdered.
Uh-huh.
She is eligible for parole in November of 2047.
So there's a movie right there, at least a Dateline. That is insane.
Yep. A Florida man operating a street sweeper was killed Friday night after a collision with a car in a supermarket parking lot ejected him from his vehicle, and then his own street sweeper ran over him.
A street sweeper was like 3 miles an hour.
According to the Highway Patrol, the 57-year-old man was not identified and was clearing the parking lot of a public supermarket with a 2021 street sweeper. While cleaning the lot, the man left and entered the boulevard. When the man made a U-turn to return to the parking lot, he entered the path of a Corvette. The street sweeper, who was not wearing a seatbelt, fell out of the vehicle, and then the street sweeper vehicle continued to move forward and ran over the driver. The driver of the Corvette, who was not identified, suffered serious injuries in the crash.
That'd be horrible.
Here's another story out of Florida. A thief was caught on camera stealing a fourth grader's science project from his parents' driveway. Melissa Tharp.
Hey, kid, where are you going with that volcano?
Melissa Tharp's fourth grade son, Gabriel, is the reigning champion of his school science fair. The Tharp said Gabriel got created this year, hoping to repeat his science fair title by turning a globe into a solar oven and trying to bake cupcakes in the sun.
Sylvester stole it.
On Sunday, the Tharps were testing out the newest creation ahead of the science fair. They set up their oven and cupcake at the end of the driveway around 1:20 in the afternoon. Melissa said she went inside to grab her phone, and when she came back out, the oven and pastry were gone.
Damn.
She checked her home security cameras and showed a woman getting out of her car, pulled up to the driveway, grabbed the solar oven and the contents inside before taking off. She said, I'm hoping it was just an accident and that they would see that this is my son's science fair project and would return it. Melissa and her kids drove around the area searching for the thief, but couldn't find the car in question. They've replaced the supplies and are attempting to recreate the solar oven in time for the science fair.
I have a special set of skills that makes me a nightmare for people who steal solar cupcake ovens.
Good luck. In Indianapolis, this is always terrible to hear this, but families were celebrating a birthday party inside a Chuck E. Cheese, and gunfire rang out as a man was killed in the parking lot. Police believe the victim walked out of the restaurant before being shot in the parking lot. In the restaurant full of children, chaos erupted. There were people trying to flee the facility. There were people trying to get in their cars and get away from the area because the shots had been fired. Glass was shattered by gunfire right where parents and their kids were eating. Witnesses described the frightening scene and said the kids saw and heard it all. Chantel Dalton said that her family were there for a 2-year-old's birthday party. She said, we didn't even get to sing happy birthday to the child. And now these children have been exposed to violence that is very unnecessary. Another group of children there on Sunday was celebrating a birthday for twin 5-year-old girls. Their grandmother said the kids were right up near the front of the restaurant seconds before the gunfire started. She said, just putting candles on the cake and to sing, and the shots were fired. Huddled under the tables, I was shoving my granddaughters to the floor and my 81-year-old mother. I'm laying on two of my girls who were hysterical asking what was happening. Police didn't have any additional suspects or vehicle descriptions to share for the investigation. While they do believe the suspect was possibly driving a white SUV, so they're trying to figure out what the hell happened.
At a Chuck E. Cheese.
At a Chuck E. Cheese. All right, here's a really messed up story.
All right.
We're going to end with this one. After eating leftover food in his fridge, which triggered a potentially deadly disease, a 19-year-old student had to get both of his legs and all 10 fingers amputated.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of the before the amputation. What a mess.
Bernard Hisu and a doctor, doctors on YouTube, detailed the results in the case from the New England Medical Journal of Medicine. According to the study, a patient was admitted to the pediatric intensive care unit because of shock, multiple organ failure, and rash. His pain first started 20 hours before he was admitted and shortly after he ate rice, chicken, and lo mein leftovers from a restaurant. The patient referred to as JC had fever, high blood pressure, and pale skin. After JC vomited, doctors noticed a greenish-yellow color, looking like any kind of food. However, JC's abnormal breathing became an even greater concern, along with the dropping in his blood pressure. Once he was sedated, they saw changes in his skin. They started to notice a rash containing small spots emerging all over his body. At first, his mottled appearance looked like bruises, but then they became a deep reddish-brown, red defined at the edges.
Take a look up on the screen here, Kathy. This is a picture of
the... Oh, God.
He continued to get sicker and then was transported via helicopter to another hospital. Following the blood and urine test, he was diagnosed with Neisseria meningitis, which caused his stiff neck, nausea, respiratory collapse, shock, and multi-organ failure. The condition, also known as meningococcal disease, is caused by bacteria with symptoms like sudden fever and vomiting. It can also lead to death in as little as a few hours. And although he continued to stabilize, the infections on his body were severe that he had to have all 10 of his fingers and both of his legs amputated.
Did you see what they believe the reason for the reaction was? Is that the food hadn't been refrigerated.
Well, similar to JC, his roommate also threw up after eating the leftover food, but he didn't react nearly as badly. The doctors then studied JC's medical history more to discover how he differed from his roommate. They learned that JC only received the first dose of the meningococcal vaccine just before he entered middle school. And once he reached the age of 16, JC did not receive the recommended booster for the vaccine. As per the CDC, a serogroup B meningococcal is the recommended between the age of 16 and 23, and he didn't get that.
Could you imagine this just tearing through your body?
They also explained while it was clearly the leftover food that caused the symptoms, it remains unlucky or unknown how traces of Neisseria meningitis got into it as well. So he's doing better. His conditioning is improving, but he lost his legs and all 10 fingers. That is messed up. So don't eat leftover food that's been out for a long time. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Secret text word. We've been getting people to enter all morning long. Kathy, we need a winner. We need a number caller. Who's it going to be?
Seven.
All right, seventh caller, 215-263-WMMR. If you know the secret text word and you are the seventh caller, then you will win. And we'll get a random texter as well. We'll be right back with that and more. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
One, two, three.
Rizzo counting off the song. 93.3 WMMR.
Some Twisted Sister this morning.
And I want to rock. And I think that's all, pretty much what we all want to do, right? We
just
rock in this world. That's all there is to it. That and win some free stuff. I mean, we have...
As long as Tobias Harris is here, they can't pay him.
That's somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
I just serious, but guys, as long as Tobias Harris is here,
right?
We can't pay him.
Can't pay him.
It's Jessica. I'm going to. I don't know how that happened. I did not hit that number one button up there, and somehow or another,
said it all, man.
It just okay. That Tobias Harris comment came up.
He's right.
Hi, Jessica. How you doing?
Good morning, it. Hi, guys.
Good morning, it. Jessica, what is our secret text word?
Paperboy.
Paperboy is correct. Yes, yes.
It was going to be Tobias Harris.
Hang on the line. I'm going to go back to the Tobias Harris guy. Hang on a second. Hi. Hello. Hey, who is this?
This is Corey.
Hey, Corey. How you doing, man?
What's up, man?
Yo, dude, we already got a winner, but I accidentally pulled your phone line up when you were talking about Tobias Harris, and that went on the air. What were you going on about?
We were talking about the Sixers maybe getting Bradley Beal, and I said that there was no way they were getting him if we still had Tobias Harris.
I think he's right. Can we give him something?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, should we give him something?
Yeah.
All right, you know what? We'll give you something. I don't know what we'll give you.
It's the same exact thing that the other person got.
What's really?
Yeah. We have extra tickets.
You're kidding me.
No, I swear to God.
Corey, it's your lucky day. You win the same prize as Jessica does. All right, man?
Oh, my God. That is so awesome.
All right. Hang on the line. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Northeast Philly.
You guys working or something today?
Yeah, we're working. I work in a sign shop in the Northeast.
Nice. All right, buddy. Hang on the line. So we got Mountain Fest lift tickets to give away.
I like his approach.
Saturday, March 5th at Montage Mountain, and lift tickets to ski, snowboard, and tube for the day, and general admission tickets to see Spin Doctors and the Verb Pipe and fireworks afterwards. We're also going to give tickets to Derek Pauly, who is from Sinking Springs, Pennsylvania, because he was our secret, random texter that we grabbed.
And he disagrees. I think he thinks they can pick Bradley Beal and Tobias Harris.
Then you know what? We welcome all.
Right.
And tickets and VIP packages, by the way, are on sale now at montagemountainresorts.com to get all of the details. All right. With that, we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away as a prize a $150 Fogo to Show gift card. And the question we're going to go with, yeah, we have to do this. When on his OnlyFans account, what fart act does Steve like to perform? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, right? When on his OnlyFans account, what fart act does Steve like to perform? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
While we wait for your call, we get these stories. What's up, Steve?
Well, Britney Spears has signed a $15 million book deal with Simon & Schuster for an autobiography. The publishing giant is reportedly nervous about the deal, especially since Britney needed a ghostwriter to sign her name.
Hey!
Brooke Shields revealing her facial regimen now that she is 57. Shields says when she was a teen model, she used a probiotic moisturizer and now uses Brillo.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Nick Cannon, who's expecting his eighth child after fathering the other seven with four different women, says he doesn't believe that married people should stay monogamous. Cannon later admitted that we probably could have guessed how he feels about monogamy.
That's how we All right, we are looking for a caller who knows the answer to this question. What on his OnlyFans account does Steve, what fart act does Steve like to perform? And we will go to Holly for the answer. Hi there, Holly.
Hi, how are you guys?
Awesome. Holly, what's the name of that fart act, please?
It's a dragon breath.
Dragon's breath, yes. Hang on, Holly. You got a $150 Fogo to Show gift card, and you can try the new favorites like their fire-roasted pechana or richly marbled ribeye as part of the full Trasco experience. And pair them with Fogo's extensive collection of South American wines. Make reservations for Center City or King of Prussia today at Fogo.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, brought to you this morning by Family and Company Jewelers. Looking to get engaged? Don't miss their Viraggio Trunk Show.
What?
March 10th through the 12th, Family & Company Jewelers is South Jersey's diamond destination. We're going to start with a couple of unfortunate deaths in the world of rock music. And being out and around yesterday, I heard some tributes to Gary Booker, the Procol Harum frontman, whose soaring vocals on the band's 1967 proto-prog rock classic, A Whiter Shade of Pale, helped made the song a mainstay of 1970s FM radio. Passed away on the 19th of cancer. He was 76 years old. The band said in a statement, "With the deepest regret, we must announce the death of Gary Booker, MBE, singer, pianist, and composer of Procol Harum, and a brightly shining, irreplaceable light in the music industry." His first single, by the way, with Procol Harum, 1967's A Whiter Shade of Pale, is widely regarded as defining the summer of love, yet it could scarcely have been more different from the characteristic records of that era. With an organ melody indebted to Bach and then unusual style that melded symphony and psychedelia, with Brooker's moody powerhouse vocals delivered a baroque, heartfelt take on the very obscure
lyrics. I was just saying that.
A Whiter Shade of Pale became a signifier of the age. So ubiquitous was the song that even in 1983, A Whiter Shade of Pale could serve as a ready-made punchline in The Big Chill. Jeff Goldblum's character says, "Don't you have any other music you know from this century?" while the song is playing.
This is such a great song.
It is. It's fantastic. It is such a... it just stands out on its own. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. It's just one of those that demands to be listened to.
And it's not just the lyrics and the melody and all the music behind it, but the actual production sound of this song is so different from anything else.
What are they? Are they using a Hammond? Is that what they have?
Yeah, it's got
to be, right. It's just an amazing sound. Yeah.
Yep. And the tone of it all.
Yes.
Brooker co-composed the song's music with the band's organist Matthew Fisher, who for years went uncredited until a highly publicized lawsuit was decided in his favor in 2006. Keith Reed wrote the lyrics, later saying that he had overheard someone use the title phrase at a party, A Whiter Shade of Pale. It was released as a single in May 1967 and a worldwide hit throughout that summer. You know what I've always noticed about this song is at the end of it, it needs to keep going. Like, they end it on a crescendo. Like, I'm like, there's so much more to this song and I guess that's part of, you know, leaving them wanting more feeling that you get from it. Because I'm like, I want the song to go on.
To do a song like this, which is at this cadence, at this very melodious sort of progression, is hard to get one to hit. Like, I always think of a Mazzy Star, Fade Into You. Like, that kind of just, like a slower song.
It's almost like a drone.
Right, and have it resonate.
Yeah.
And this just is masterful.
Among its more notable Pale highlights was 1972's Conquistador, which is another great song. A solo artist following the band's breakup, Brooker worked with Eric Clapton before forming a reassembled version of Procol Harum in 1991, recording and performing until several years ago. At various points, he also played with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band and Bill Wyman's Rhythm Kings. His charity work was cited in 2003, and he was given an MBE award, the Member of the British Empire Award.
Wow.
Survived by his wife of 54 years, Frankie Booker, Brooker, and a private funeral is planned with a memorial celebration to be announced at a later date. And a more recent singer passed away as well, Mark Lanegan. Grunge pioneer, lead singer of the Screaming Trees, passed away. He was 57 years old.
Great song.
He died Tuesday morning in Ireland. No cause of death was given. A statement from the band read, "Our beloved friend Mark Lanegan passed away this morning at his home in Killarney, Ireland. A beloved singer, songwriter, author, and musician. He was 57 and is survived by his wife, Shelley." Lanegan, a Washington native, weathered a dysfunctional upbringing and battled with substance abuse before joining brothers Van, a bass player, and Gary Lee Connor, a guitarist, along with drummer Mark Pickerel, to form the Screaming Trees in 1984. The band became an influential part of the Seattle grunge scene, much like Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, and Nirvana. Although the band released its debut album, Clairvoyance, in 1986... they wouldn't score their first hit until 1992, when this song, Nearly Lost You, was featured on the soundtrack of the Cameron Crowe movie Singles. However, Lanegan had already embarked on a solo career by the time Nearly Lost You gained commercial success, releasing his debut album, The Winding Sheet, in 1990. He continued touring and recording with the Trees through the 90s, and the group officially disbanded in 2000. In addition to his solo career, Lanigan was an avid collaborator. He provided guest vocals to several albums by Queens of the Stone Age and the Gutter Twins. So no reason, we don't know a cause of death, but 57
years
old.
He's pretty young.
So that was very sad to hear that as well.
That's a perfect soundtrack, singles soundtrack. Yeah. It's so great. And that's the only song by that band that I really know.
Me too.
But it's just, it's a terrific song.
Yeah, I actually jammed with the two guys, Van and who was he?
From Screaming Trees?
Yeah, wow. Gary Lee. It was, they were in town. I was working at WDRE here. We were at our program director Jim's house, and they came over for dinner.
Wow.
And Jim and I used to jam, so my drums were in the basement, and we were downstairs just kind of hanging out. And Jim picked up the guitar and just kind of started farting around on it. And I got behind the drums, and then there were other instruments there, and those guys picked up. And we jammed for like a half hour. Yeah, it was pretty cool, My Chemical Romance and Green Day will be headlining the 2022 Firefly Festival together. The bands are headlining the four-day event, which will take place from September 22nd to September 25th at the Woodlands in Dover, Delaware. Pop stars Halsey and Dua Lipa are scheduled as headliners, bookending the event. I looked through the list of bands. I don't know very many.
Well,
Avril Lavigne and Weezer.
Yeah, on there. I know the Kid Laroi because he just did a collaboration with Justin Bieber.
A collab.
The Head and the Heart. That's a great band. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like singer songwriters, but I've seen them perform at the Man. But yeah, a lot of bands on here. I don't know. Yeah.
There are a lot of real up and comers. They usually like some years the lineup has been, fairly star studded. This is a lot more okay. Let's see what becomes of these bands.
Pre-sale tickets for the festival will be available on Friday, and general tickets go on sale on Monday.
Bleachers is on there, and I was unaware of those guys until they did Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was great.
And they were a last minute. I can't remember who was supposed to be the act, but they got canceled at the last minute, and they just threw the Bleachers in there. And their first song, How Dare You Want More, I was like, okay, this is one of my new favorite songs. So they're a fun band.
Okay.
There's a band on here called Weston Estate.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Is it spelled the same way?
It sure is.
Wow.
Oh, I need a little old slice of...
you ready to rock?
Yeah.
Are you all ready to rock?
This song is called Santa's Gotta Go.
This is what happens when a co-worker pranks you on Christmas.
it's a big hit.
Weston's what?
Weston Estate.
Weston.
I tripped a line fandango. The Weston, whatever the lyrics are.
He's doing broke all hair.
That's right. We all having a good time. This person down here needs one of those EpiPens.
Oh, because now people are pointing out when people are in trouble.
Right.
And they're having issues.
Some sort of shock.
The audience, yeah.
Sir, are you enjoying the show?
Pretty good.
Weston's Estate. Coheed and Cambria has debuted their new video for The Liars Club. The song is off of their new album, Vaxus 2, A Window of the Waking Mind. What?
It was the one guy out front.
He was enjoying it, though.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Sorry. I know you were doing stuff over there, Preston.
No, I know. It was awesome.
Okay.
Let's stay in touch after this.
Okay.
I'll put you on the mailing list.
Meanwhile, Coheed and Cambria has announced the dates of their upcoming North American headlining tour entitled A Window of the Waking Mind Tour. And they will be playing the Lea Corps Center on July 27th.
We have Claudio Sanchez giving us a... We're going to talk to him tomorrow.
Okay.
From
Coheed and Cambria.
Yep.
Cool. I have been vaguely aware. I've liked stuff from them through... I guess throughout the years, but I think I'm getting more into them.
Yeah.
I like the new songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elton John had a scary incident where he was forced to have an emergency landing on his private jet yesterday. It was yesterday. Yeah, the British singer's jet suffered a hydraulic failure at 10,000 feet in the air.
We're having a hydraulic failure.
Oh, he's the... I didn't know he was a pilot.
He also flies for
no idea. And they had to land before reaching their destination. Elton was flying from the UK to New York for a performance that he had scheduled at Madison Square Garden last night. And an hour into the flight, the pilot noticed something was wrong, made a U-turn near the coast of Southern Ireland.
That's my phone.
The winds, which reach 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
Landed while ambulances and fire crews waited at Farnborough Airport. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, if you're a star, a musical star of any nature, especially rock and roll, you get on a plane, you know, like a jet like this, doesn't your mind always at some point go to Buddy Holly?
Yeah.
And, you know, the stories of, or Patsy Cline or,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
I mean, statistically, many rock stars have flown without incident.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I don't think you could totally get that out of your mind.
Especially if you're a big star.
Yes.
Know, like him, yeah. All right, and there you go. That's it. That's all we have in music news for you. That means we're going to take a break, come back in a second, get the letter of the day for the very short word of the week, and a really cool prize for you to win. It involves the Batman.
Yeah!
You don't want to miss out on it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
10:43. Today is Wednesday, and we're happy about that, and we're happy about the guests and so on that we had on today. I would like to thank Mr. Jeff Devlin for stopping by today. Carpenter extraordinaire, and will be appearing at the Philly Home and Garden Show at the Expo Center in Oaks this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go to fillyhomeandgarden.com, and he's our local Ryan Reynolds.
He is. He's great. This show, Stonehouse Revival, is great. And the fact that he almost lost his hand and had a stroke. God. He's on, I'd have to say, you couldn't help but have an upward swing now because he's had so much crap happen to him.
He had a stroke and then he had the staph infection.
Yes.
Nearly lost his hand. Mm. Crazy, man. But great to have him in here. He's so much fun. Super nice guy. And he does great work, too. Thank you to Richard Curtis.
Yeah.
Host of The Clash Room on Fox 29. And they are doing it differently now. It used to be students versus teachers. And for now, it's going to be families against families. Kind of like the Family Feud, but a little bit different. And so it's called Clash Room Family Edition. It's a quiz show. It's a blast. We appeared on it and had a great time. And it's coming out very, very soon. And he was like, dude, if you submit, more than likely you will be on the show.
So right.
They need contestants.
And do it.
It is fun. And there's a $500 cash for it as well. So new episodes will air Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. So you can do a real quick search on that, The Clash Room, and get signed up and be a part of that because you will have fun, I guarantee you. All right, so we have a short word of the week this week. We have a three-letter word that we need to spell out. We'll need the first letter. You ready, Casey?
Yeah.
Right. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
We're going to go with B, as in Batman.
All right, we got a B. We got two more to go, and we are going to give away a trip for two to see The Batman, the New York premiere, mind you, March 1st at Alice Tully Hall at the Lincoln Center, and that includes round-trip Amtrak tickets, dinner, and an overnight stay as well. Click contestwmmr.com to see the extensive health and safety requirements to attend. It's from Warner Brothers Pictures and visionary filmmaker Matt Reeves. The Batman, an all-new take on the iconic DC superhero that takes the world's greatest detective back to year two. The film stars Robert Pattinson in the title role alongside Zoe Kravitz as the enigmatic Selina Kyle. And it's opening only in theaters on March 4th. So if you want to get out and see it ahead of time, this little cool setup, Two more letters to go. That's it. We'll give it away.
Excellent.
On Friday, which is very, very cool. Thank you to these people that sponsor the Preston and Steve Show. Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also want to thank Acme. You can download the Acme app to see your all-new deals, rewards, and perks today. Visit acmemarkets.com for details. And finally, DSM Biomedical, now hiring. And you can apply at careers.dsm.com. Use the location Exton. Tomorrow, as Casey said earlier, we will have from Coheed and Cambria, Claudio Sanchez joining us.
Very cool.
Which is cool. And our friend Bob Kelly from Fox 29. Apparently, he's got a new show coming out on Fox 29 that he's going to mention. So we'll do that and some other things tomorrow morning. So make sure you join us. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. Pierre's in next, and we'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Bing there. Doo doo be do. Doo da da doo dipa doo doo ba boo ba boo ba ba da da doo doo ba 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 ba.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.